Hey, what's poppin'? The Tuesday show. Drew and Mike show from the DealsNiddy.com studios. We're back up to a full lineup today with Trudy and Mark and Brandon on site. And we're going to be talking to an 87-year-old who is trying to pass the bar for the fourth time, coming up in just a few minutes. And also, Brandon, did you get my clip of Mike Clark talking about the Corey Lytle plane crash?
Oh, I did get that, yeah.
Yeah, we should play that either at the end of the show or during the show at some point.
That was great.
That was a great discussion. He was spot on.
That plane was insane.
How did he hit a building? I mean, that just... You brought up the suicide thing at the end of the conversation, Trudy, and I was like... I'm thinking, my God, that's... How do you hit a bill out of all the places you can go? It was like right into that building.
Ah.
And then...
Now that's what I call a joyride.
The weird thing was... They found the flight instructor's body on the ground.
So bizarre.
He jumped off the last minute. That's what I thought.
Took like, the parachute from that plane.
Corey's committing suicide. I'm jumping out the last second. But he waited too long. And his body was severed in half.
Torn in half. Whoa! The flight instructor was torn in half, right?
Yes.
And Corey Lytle was...
He was in the plane.
Just like ragdoll on the street in front of some building?
I don't know. I mean...
Wow.
I'm not sure. They said
his
passport was found on the ground, too.
Whoa.
So I thought that was Corey. He just flipped it out before they hit, so they'd know it was him.
Oh, wow. that's good thinking.
Anyway, Mike Clark was so funny. He was really waiting for something to happen to that plane because he'd been studying it. He was absolutely determined and felt so confident that plane was a piece of shit and that's why it had a parachute.
I told you, yes. He was right, man.
He suggested that they added the parachute because the plane had so many safety problems. Well, let's add a parachute and forget about fixing this other stuff.
I haven't listened back to it. Is it because they rushed it to manufacturing so quick?
Well, no, but it had so many structural difficulties. They put the parachute in, but then afterward they said, hey, and it's a great safety device, and tried to like brush it off, in Mike's interpretation, as a plus, not a minus, because the plane was so like...
I thought it was pretty fascinating conversation. And then also, I remembered that Mike's friend used to get on planes with a parachute on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Didn't it freak everybody out?
He got thrown off.
He was the first person on the no-fly list.
He got thrown off of multiple planes. But he did travel with a parachute on a few times, I think.
Wow.
That's great.
I know. Pretty cool.
I want to be a pilot.
Hey, I just got an email today that Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped now over 4,700 people, because over 100 people have gotten help and resources they might not have gotten otherwise since we started this program. So anyone struggling with a substance use disorder, addiction, whether it be anything, doesn't matter what it is, heroin, alcohol, go to one of the 100 participating. Yeah, absolutely. Go to one of the 100 participating police locations, ask for help with no fear of being arrested. The police officer will treat you with compassion. Call a volunteer angel. It'll come to the police department and help with paperwork and making calls to get you placed into treatment that day, which, you know, that is a pain in the ass. Somebody has to cut through the crap and get it done, and they do it. First step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step towards recovery. And they won't arrest you. They will help you. Hopenothandcuffs.com for more information. And then there is our friends at Zot, Ford, and Holly and DealsNiddy.com. It's truck month, which means incredible savings on all Ford trucks, like the legendary F-150 and the Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. Get to Zot Ford in Holly and lease that 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month, or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Steve Gabara and all the Zot Ford people still have those Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and go to DealsNiddy.com to do that. And then Hall Financial. Then we're going to open the Hall Financial hotline because we're going to talk to Porter. Porter's 87. He's failed the bar. Is it four times?
Four times, yep. I had a great conversation with him earlier today.
He hasn't taken it since 1964?
I think that's what he said.
That's 56 years ago.
He was supposed to take it today, right? I won't spoil it. I'll let him tell it.
Did he just decide to practice law? Did he just go, you know what? I want to practice law now. I'm 87.
He went to two law schools. His LinkedIn page said he attended University of California, Hastings, whatever that is, and took the bar exam four times, but he flunked out of one of the law schools. So I assumed he graduated from the second one, but with this guy, you can't assume anything.
But does he have to then go back and study the, how many, 54 years of law that has been?
Yeah.
No, because he said, quote, I have a lifetime of experience.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good. Well, Kim Kardashian maybe wants to take the lead on him.
Why doesn't he go that path?
Must be easy to be a lawyer. I just don't want a lawyer from California. They pass the bar there. Because who knows what the background is?
Sure, yeah.
Well, we certainly wish him well. 84 years. I mean, it'd be cool to see him get that at 87. Hall Financial got some more great messages from people. Somebody got from a 4. Why would they have a 4-1 and they end up getting a 2-7?
Wow.
I mean, that's crazy. I wonder who got them that initial mortgage. But it's true, and they were saving a lot of money on their monthly payments because they refinanced with Hall Financial. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. NMLS number 1467435. And people are refinancing as those rates remain low. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And I saw the stock market was up today because the Biden lead is so large now. The feeling is this is going to be an uncontested election. There will be no ifs, ands, or buts about it on November 2nd.
Yeah, and Yahoo Finance had a big story about, you know, why is it spiking while the president has a health issue? I mean, typically it would crash. And they, to that point, the lead is so big that they feel that there might even be a blue wave enough for a stimulus bill to be passed right away. And they've already cooked in any potential losses of corporate taxes. That's crazy.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Nobody tries harder to predict the future than the markets.
Yeah, and they're pretty good.
Because their money's on the line.
Usually they're very good.
It's just interesting. I don't know.
I'm always a little surprised sometimes that they take something so seriously or not so seriously, yeah. But
I love watching them. It's fun.
Yeah, I'll be
see you, Brandon. Brandon just got up and walked away from the camera.
Oh, I'm glad he's got that freedom.
Because you never do that.
Babysit, dog sit. Hey, I'm stuck. I've got commercials to read. I never get any breaks. I try to explain that.
What?
To people.
You're the boss, though.
It is your podcast, and you can leave.
Yeah, sure.
But you do leave. I mean, you go upstairs every once in a while, take a dump.
That's the
do some prep.
Oh, I don't go take a dump, but I cannot just walk away at any time.
You do time it.
Back in the radio days, you had long commercial breaks where you could do anything. You could go get some out of the vending machine.
I do miss those.
I do too.
That's funny.
What vending machines put in here?
Yeah,
But I don't have the time to go putz around at the vending machine.
I was talking to someone about their podcast network and their setup, and you know, one of my first questions was, can you smoke in there? Because I know people that do podcasts that can't, stop to go smoke.
You couldn't smoke at the radio show in the last five years or something.
Somehow some people found a way.
Not at the end you couldn't.
Oh, yeah, my that's God, true. That's spying.
Things get pretty crazy over there.
Yes, weren't allowed to smoke in Joe Louis Arena, but I've seen people do it too.
Oh yeah, that has happened.
Who would do that?
Well, I think that was in protest for being there.
I think it was too. But what's funny is how Brandon was like, "We're gonna get caught." I think you thought you were gonna get caught, right, Brandon?
We did get caught, but we got caught by some young kid who was, you know, he didn't know what to do
because
Drew was smoking in the stall.
Oh, he just outed you. What a narc.
The Joe Louis Arena isn't even around anymore.
I don't even remember that.
I remember that.
It's been a 105-1.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It definitely was.
Uh-huh.
Boy. Well, were there any new polls today, by the way?
I just saw the one Trump tweeted out where he's winning.
What?
He tweeted out a story.
He's got a poll he's been winning in.
I don't
know.
Look at his Twitter. It's proof. He tweeted out a poll.
Well, that's because he's euphoric from the steroid.
I don't blame him then. I kind of want to get COVID so I can try some of that dexamethasone. It sounds great.
Why don't they just give it to all of us? Remember
COVID?
when we all thought we should all take Xanax possibly as a country, or they should put it in water?
Oh, it wouldn't be a bad idea right now.
Why can't we all get the steroids just massively? Hey.
It seems like we should
feel
have
better.
Them
we
on
get more
hand.
Done. Yeah.
Well, we could all buff up. I mean, the country's a lot heavier than it used to be, including my 12 pounds. Thanks a lot, Whitmer.
Hey,
I cannot live on this planet with these 12 pounds. Fuck these 12 pounds. These 12 pounds must go. God damn it. Ugh. And Whitmer, blaming the red
morbidly
judges.
Obese.
Now all judges determine on red or blue, all judging. So, boy, what a hopeless country this is. Anyway, Well, did you guys see the press conference with the doctors today?
No.
They're the most amusing press conferences I've seen since the Gulf War in 91, because there are so many questions and they are so detailed. And many of them, it's like, no, they're not going to answer that. You know, they're not going to answer that. And some of them are very, you know, like the woman that said, why isn't Melania Trump admitted? Well, he's not Melania Trump's doctor. And I mean, I'm not sure what the meaning of the question was. Was it that... Well, why isn't she good enough to be admitted? Or
who is her doctor? Why haven't we heard from her doctor? Oh, because first ladies don't matter?
Well, maybe. We've heard from every doctor in the world, though. I'm not kidding you. Watching TV today, I saw many, many doctors on TV. And my understanding is that if you're not someone's doctor, you're not really supposed to inflect too much about the other doctor's care because it's not your patient. So you don't know the patient. Now, the patient's the president, so, of course, I'm sure that gets bent a little bit. But some of the conversations today, for example, they had a former CIA intelligence officer today. And this was just a really strange, I'm not sure what the point was, but they were suggesting that the doctors would have been pushing back against Trump going for his joyride. And that... The suggestion was that he wanted to do something much worse, but they pushed back, so that was probably a compromise.
Yeah, he wanted to go home.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
He wanted to Dr. Dow?
Yeah, well, he probably wanted to go home on Friday, knowing him.
Do you know who thought it was, quote, a crazy idea?
Who?
Don Jr. Did you
really?
See that story?
No, I didn't see that.
No way.
The source says Don Jr. thinks Trump's acting crazy, so he asked Ivanka and Eric and Jared to convince him to stop acting this way. The tweeting and the joyride.
Who's doing this story, by the way?
Vanity Fair.
Something like think Don Jr. would be.
Vanity Fair, all that fake news.
Would Don Jr. be really talking to the media about, I think this is crazy?
No, I mean, it's a source, so take it for, you know. People that like him won't believe it, and people that do like him might believe it.
Well, if it's the other way around, it's the same way, so.
Don Jr. Said he wanted to stage an intervention, but Jared and Ivanka keep telling Trump how great he's doing, the source said. He's reluctant to confront his father alone. Don said, I'm not going to be the only one to tell him he's acting crazy.
About the joyride?
About the joyride and the tweet storm.
Well, this really, honest to God, him having COVID, I was thinking back to all the things why Trump, you know, what is making it hard for him to win, which is mostly himself. But there's a few other things.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The Russian investigation, being impeached, COVID-19, the economy hit hard, the Woodward book, the debate.
Bounties on soldiers.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Can you believe it?
What soldiers?
Bounties on soldiers.
That soldiers are assholes or losers.
Oh, yeah, suckers and losers.
Yeah.
That too.
Death drive through D.C. with COVID. Lying about his treatment. Doctors lying about his treatment. He knew he had it, went to the debate. Knew he had it, went to an appearance. And he was already trailing in the polls before any of these things. So, pretty tough. I mean, that's a pretty long list of things to overcome. But, you know, in thinking about this, I was thinking that...
I don't give a damn.
The impeachment itself was based on Hunter Biden, really. Because he was asking for an investigation into Joe Biden, which is really about Hunter Biden, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so today I'm at the health club and I'm cycling away and sweating. And I'm reading this Newsweek article that two people sent this morning, and it's about the $3.5 million check from Moscow, which Biden's answer to that was, he's just trying to change the subject from COVID-19 to, and I'm not saying that this changed our policy or anything like that. I'm just saying, did he get a $3.5 million check or not? Because no one will say he didn't. And the excuse I heard that he didn't, quote unquote, was that it was made out to his company, but a different, like a shell version of his company that he did not found.
Where's Hunter?
He founded his company, but he didn't found the shelter or the shell part.
Somebody
that the
set up a shell company that's, unidentifiable.
And Newsweek also said that it paid consulting fees to Joe Biden's brother of $1.3 million. I'm just going, what is any of this? I've never heard any of this before. I heard about the energy company Burisma. And I don't, you know, I don't think it matters or it would change the election. I just would like to know what is and is not true. Because it seems that every time someone says, they go, oh, it's been debunked. It's been debunked. It's a Republican, you know, Republican investigation. So it sounds to me like he did get a check for $3.5 million to his consultancy. And then some loans from the Moscow mayor's wife. And whether I've never heard anything about Biden's brother getting consulting fees. That was new.
By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
But, you know, you think you could know this, whether it is or is not. I mean, that's not really that hard. I mean, there's other stuff, too, about China and foreign nationals and sex trafficking. And it's like, but you can never know anything because the answer is always, it's been debunked. Or that Trump's just trying to change the conversation.
Well, I mean, conversely, you can't really know anything about anything, really. You know,
No, I guess not. But some things are assumed, I think, to be true on a large level. This one just really doesn't get a lot of.
We should all just trip.
Most of the
trip our asses off until like the end of November.
Most of the Hunter Biden conversation takes place in the Washington Examiner and right-wing type publications. And so when I saw Newsweek, I was, well, I'll read Newsweek. Not that I didn't read Examiner, because I'm interested in the story. I'm like, what is the real truth? And Newsweek was pretty specific, I thought. But there's not, as far as the publications that people usually go to, not much written about it at all. Huh. So do we have our guest?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Oh, yeah, the lawyer's going to represent you. The lawyer knows just what to do.
Porter is on the Hall Financial Hotline.
Make sure that you do not go to prison.
My understanding was he was going to take the bar today to try and finally be a lawyer after his last effort 56 years ago. Hey, Porter, are you there?
Yep.
How are you feeling, Porter?
I'm pretty good. Do you want to Zoom? Do you want to use Zoom?
What?
Or
wow.
Do you want to use...
Party.
You want to Zoom?
You didn't tell me this was an option earlier, but yes.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to see you.
You didn't ask.
Be a little delay in the action. You didn't ask, Mark.
Well, but
it's just kind of last minute now that we're doing the show live.
Tell me this, though. Didn't you tell me you're not very good with computers, so why would I ask?
That's very good. You're one step ahead.
I'm going to go. I'm going to try and pass the bar.
Yeah, right.
We'll just stick with this for now.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. If we want to change the Zoom halfway through, we can do it in two parts. But that'd be crazy.
So let me ask you a question.
Who's interviewing who?
Are we on Porter's podcast, too?
We have to introduce ourselves.
Who's calling from where?
It's Detroit calling. It's Drew, and you talked to Mark earlier. Trudy is here.
Hey.
And Drew and Trudy.
Yes.
From where?
And Mark. Yes.
And Brandon.
And you might hear Brandon pop in, too.
Brandon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. And who do you represent?
Well, we represent the Drew and Mike show in Detroit.
The Drew and Mike
show. Seems like a lot of this could have been handled off the air. I mean,
some people said a lot of this was handled off the air.
Okay.
We're in Detroit.
I'm not sure how intrigued the audience is with this particular element.
They love seeing how the sausage gets made.
Do you know Detroit? Cooper?
Porter?
Trudy? Do you know Detroit?
Cooper. Cooper, sorry.
Wait, his name?
Porter.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready to start the interview?
Well, I'm a little concerned right now.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
Well, because it almost feels like a scam to me.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't you can you Google the Drew and Mike Show on your computer?
Did you find my email?
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, Google the show. You'll see.
I don't show that email. Hold on a second.
We're legitimate.
Should I put in Drew and Mike?
Yeah, just Google Drew and Mike Show.
Drew.
And Mark. And Mike. Yeah, taking Mike. Care of business. Break it down.
Drew and Mike Show.
We're not like serious, but we're not.
What's your social security number?
Not a scam.
You're a business. TCB with a flash, Porter. Business. Woo! You care of business. We are too legit to quit, as you will find out.
Did you find us?
Well, let's have a look.
How's the Facebook crowd enjoying the show today?
They hate it.
Sorry.
They hate everything.
They hate to. I thought they were like Porter.
What I saw was something on October 4th. Yeah? Just announced Reese Witherspoon, Jane Hirschfield, and Michael Connelly joined this month's schedule of live ticketed events. What's that?
That's not us.
That doesn't seem like the Drew and Mike Show.
Here, I'll send you. I'll do it from a different email account and I'll send you it.
I'll
forward it just to prove that I did send it.
Drew and Mike Mike Show. And if you Google that, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things come up.
I think he's got the Drew Barrymore Show.
Oh, yeah. Trudy made a great point that you got the Drew Barrymore show.
Yeah, she's talking to Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. Different?
Did you type in Drew Barrymore by accident?
I just resent it.
No, I just... Okay, hold on a second.
From a different email address.
Drew's News?
Should I send you a passcode, too?
No.
Some people are saying this isn't going to get off the ground.
So I typed in D-R-E-W and M-I-K-E, Mike.
Mike, yes. Show. Drew and Mike Show.
Okay.
This is the most
we have
skeptical.
A Wikipedia page and everything.
Grant says he has dial-up. It might take a while.
This is the most skeptical anyone's been about the show ever.
It's better be worth it.
Wow.
It's okay. We got time. But I believe you told me you have to pick someone up from the airport soon.
No, they were leaving at 3:40, so they're not going to be here till 5
o'clock. Okay. So we got lots of time. Okay.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Great.
Did you find us?
So was nope.
No.
No.
You know, maybe we don't come up. Porter's out on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it doesn't come up out on the West Coast. The internet doesn't pick it up out there.
My email or
the... I don't know. No, the show information.
Check your email again.
Do you get Wikipedia out there?
Okay, hold on.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Oh,
are you going to grant us a continuance? Do you know what that means?
I'm about ready to issue a writ of habeas corpus. Who are they?
I was watching Court
TV.
I'm calling your case. I'm going to talk to the judge about a writ of habeas corpus. I'll put the system on trial.
Exactly.
Who are you?
Well, I just saw something on Channel 4. Mask battle gets ugly.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what the story is.
I'll look in spam, see if something came in there.
I have to Google our name and see if... I mean, maybe we've been scrubbed from the internet overnight.
Can you at least tell us, did you take the bar exam today?
No.
No.
What?
Why not?
They wouldn't let me.
Oh, why not?
They couldn't find the 4 times I took it.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So they had trouble finding you?
Just like you can't find our email or website.
We pop right up. It says Drew and Mike Podcast. There's my picture. There's the logo. There's Detroit radio legend Mike Clark dies at 63. Drew and Mike Show rocking the Detroit Airways for 25 years. There's our Twitter. There's a home Facebook. 25,620 likes. Can we get that up to 26,000?
Never heard of them. Next.
Please like us on that. Drew and Mike Podcast. Wikipedia. Drew and Mike Show. Listen via Stitcher. Drew and Mike show.
Who the hell are you anyway?
Where are we at, Porter? What's going on?
1067 WLLZ.
What's going on, Porter? Where are we at?
I'm looking in my inbox. I'm looking in spam.
Let me put you on hold. Maybe I got the email address wrong.
What did you type?
Maybe we should check you out and see if you're for real. What do we Google for you?
Yeah, how do we? Yeah.
Oh my God. It's funny. This is the kind of thing that's happened off the air in the old show.
So where?
But never ever has it happened like this in the.
I don't know who you are. You're about to get chlamydia.
So
in any show that's actually aired, it's never quite gone like this.
Let me ask though: did you have to go back through the 54 years that you'd missed in law and jurisprudence and study all of that before you could take the bar, and then you couldn't take it?
Trudy hasn't verified our identity yet.
Oh, Porter won't answer
I just sent another email.
Oh, boy. Well, as we step...
I know who you are. We're friends on Facebook.
As we step into
okay.
the...
Okay. Mark Spellhauer.
That's me!
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
That's us. I just sent you another one from the show email, so now you know it's legit.
Yeah, right. Okay.
There he is!
You're right to be cautious. There are lots of scams, but we're not one of them.
Porter, are you aware how much...
Hey, there he is!
Where how much showtime we're chewing up trying to verify this? I mean, this is really sort of unusual.
It's not a billable hour.
It's
not his fault.
Okay.
All right, you ready to start?
Okay, so what is, yeah,
I don't
so
know
what
if I want,
want
you to have a law degree.
So what do you want? That's a great way to start.
Porter, I'm not sure. You know, actually, Porter might make a very good lawyer because look how thorough he
very
is
cautious.
In screening us. I wish everyone was vetted this carefully. Porter?
True.
Or not.
Yep.
But you need a legal assistant to help you with some of this when you start handling cases.
Can you tell us what you think went wrong when you did not pass the bar 56 years ago?
Well, let's see. I was a Korean War veteran. I went to University of California. I started having children. I got married.
Unless we could have done this 10 minutes ago.
When I took the bar the last time, I had a one-year-old, a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and a six-year-old.
Wow, so you just didn't have time.
Winged it? Are you saying you winged it?
No, I studied. No. I went to law school. Okay. I took a bar review course. I was not a good student.
Yeah, it's because it sounded like kind of a myriad of excuses there. But now that you say you're not a good student, then maybe that sort of summarizes it best.
Yeah, I think so. And over the last 20 years, my ability to study and take exams online really improved a lot.
You're a late bloomer.
Exactly.
Now, that's interesting that you would have so much more success online, because a lot of people are suspicious of that. Like, when you're online, you can do it any way you want. I mean, have you really improved your studying that much, or do you think it's because you can be an online weasel?
No. I
can't say anything.
So what happened, this bar review course I took was, we've got about 12 volumes, 3,600 pages that they gave me or delivered to me.
Whoa.
And then they had online video conferences I must have, 200 hours of that.
Wow.
Jeez. Porter,
and I was studying for 4 months, 4 to 6 hours a day. And I usually would take a day off. And then physically, I worked out. I did yoga every morning.
Wow.
And I've been doing yoga every morning for 50 years.
Wow.
And then I play tournament tennis.
Well, for heaven's sake, you must be in great shape.
Play tournament tennis?
Shape.
Really?
Most people think I'm 60 or 65.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I should be back in school.
Let me ask you this.
I play doubles tennis. This is even better. I play doubles tennis,
okay,
and my tennis partner is 93.
Wow. So you have a lot of running around to do to make up for him.
Exactly. exactly it. I play singles still.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Porter, when you pass the bar, do you plan to litigate in front of a judge?
No. Oh. I'm glad you asked that question.
Really?
And there's a long story, and if you ask me, I will tell you that story, but I started a speaking tour almost a year ago, and I joined the National Speakers Association, and the rest of my life is about talking about the preamble to the Constitution.
How many speaking gigs do you get? Do you get hired a couple times a month or once a month?
No, I did eight temporary starting speaking tours in front of 10 or 20. I think the most was 25 people.
Wow.
The title to my speeches is We the People.
Oh, do you get paid for these?
Not yet, but I will.
Is that
so? That's a great name.
25 is a good crowd. And then when you do it eight times, it's 200 people.
Nice.
And
I'll speak anywhere.
Is the We the People tour coming to Detroit, possibly?
I'd love to.
That'd be great.
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
We'd bring out more people.
Yeah, we get some people to the show. We'll get you a crowd.
How long are your speeches?
Anywhere from 10 minutes to 2 hours.
Wow.
That's a long way to travel for 10 minutes.
I'll tell you, in my DNA, my mom was born in 1900, and in 1915, she was a suffragette.
Oh, so you have a long line of
legal. In my DNA. And in 1915, she walked down Fifth Avenue in New York with 25,000 women carrying a placard. Wow.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
You had a cool mom.
So why couldn't you take the bar today?
They have this technicality. They kept trying to say, I'm taking it for the first time. And some technicality, they say, because I didn't have good grades in law school either.
Oh.
So they said I didn't qualify under 4 years of law study.
What?
But you know,
well, if you took the bar before, then you can take it again, I would assume.
Exactly.
JFK
take
Jr.
as many times as you want. But
that's
they,
double
they
jeopardy,
not,
I think.
Exactly.
Double jeopardy. That's one of the tenets of law, is no double jeopardy. So I think you should win that battle.
I will.
Okay, well, when do you think you will get to take it? I mean, do you have any idea how soon this can be resolved?
Well, I think they have two choices. I understand that they reread one of my exams because I was very close, like 1 or 2 points. You needed 70 to pass, and I think I had a 69 or a 68.
69.
So
should have kissed the proctor's ass.
Yeah, exactly. So they could go back in their records, and they could say, okay, we're going to reread it for you. And we're going to pass you anyway.
That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Could have saved you a lot of studying, though.
Well, I've already done the studying.
That's true. I know. Well, you know what I want to do? I want to check back with you in a couple months and see if you have passed, or maybe you could email Mark back with that address that you now believe is Mark.
Yeah, I will.
And let us know when you pass, and we could call, and we could have a congratulatory call and maybe set something up for hopefully
Absolutely.
A Detroit visit for the We the People tour.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
right.
That'd be great,
well,
Porter. In the meantime, we thank you for your time. And, boy, that vetting process was something else,
that's
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
That was really something.
That was like what they
You're
put
welcome.
You through.
You should be a lawyer. Yeah, that's right. It was almost worse. I think you took it out on us.
I did.
We can take it, Porter. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Okay.
I'd love
You're
to see welcome. A guy your age that still hustles.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, my man. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
Today's final exam will consist of two parts, oral and anal.
I swear, that has happened many, many times.
Thank you, whoever
never,
you are.
Never live on the air. I don't know why. I mean, occasionally it happens on the air, and it's usually pretty quick.
We spent more time trying to get him to verify it than the interview
well,
was.
He blew
I was
him.
Just going to say, we got vetted for 10 minutes. We spoke to him for 8.
I was not going to spend another 20 minutes talking to someone it took 10 minutes to be vetted by. That's crazy.
And then finding out it never happened anyway. So
Someone online said, I wonder if he's going to end up charging by the hour. It's part of the big scam. That's great.
Well, the Yeldo Eye Center, people are taking advantage of the fact that they're reopened to get the life-changing eye surgeries they'd had to postpone. And, oh, yeah, there's something new in this copy. Ah, for the 40 and under group, custom topography guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw your contacts and glasses in the garbage and see better than you ever could with them. If you're over 45, multifocal lens replacement will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And you get $1,500 off if you mention the Drew and Mike show. And in fact, you can get half off if you get somebody else in there to have surgery, whether they need it or not. It doesn't matter. call 1-800-398-EYES. I'm just kidding, of course. Go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And remember, the Yaldo Eye Center now is a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So if Brandon wants to drop Kristen off somewhere for a long time, you can drop her off at the Yaldo Eye Center.
There you go.
That's really funny because you know I can't drive.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I forgot. Wow. I seriously forgot. Luke Nowacki wants you to know the strategy for the long-term investor is a very different strategy than the guy who's just looking over the next couple weeks or the next month or the election. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategy. Somehow the market has just seemed to sort of maintain through all this insanity. It's still pretty damn good. 248-663-4748. But there's a lot of things you could be doing. Some things are doing better than others. And with coronavirus and an economy that is in a strange mode after big losses, and now it looks like big gains are coming back to the economy, what do you do? What do you do in 6 months, in 6 years, in six decades? Stocks or bonds? Do you move your 401k? Do you have a 529? Should you? Do you have a plan, financial plan? Call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory
Services. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that Brandon at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Was that live?
Was that live, Brandon?
I thought it worked. I thought the whole thing flowed, personally.
Okay.
Cool.
So, let's see. Well, should we start with some... What's it, you know, people are writing like crazy with Brush with Celebrities. People love these stories, too. So, I think I'll just go into the crazy world of email.
Charles had a great one today.
I saw Charles. Also, Don.
Charles.
Don had a name I was very interested in. So, let's see. Here it is. Okay, background 2000.
Hey, Don, did you take a dump in your bed last night?
Don was in the Bahamas for work. Ooh, I was in a casino with colleagues, and we're all a little drunk. It was a smaller casino at a hotel, and you don't have many options. Who walks in and sits at my table? John fucking Travolta.
Whoa. Right near the beach. Bye.
I had a few drinks, and no problem at all striking up a conversation with him. Well, wow. How about that?
Hot.
I asked him if he came in on his jet. He got so happy. It was what he wanted to talk about. He started getting into details about the weather and the approach, and I interrupted him.
The weather and the approach.
I said, no, I meant your kid jet.
Oh.
Now, this is before his son passed away. I'm not a complete asshole.
Wow.
Now, I do know if he actually said anything, from my point of view, he just gave someone in his entourage a look, and I was picked up by two large men. One grabbed each elbow. What? And escorted me out of the casino?
The hell? For asking him about jet?
A third carried my chips as they dragged me out. My legs were limp as they dragged me. Well, that's the only way your legs can be when you're getting dragged. You have to make them limp. I started throwing out random Travolta lines from movies. I looked backwards at him over my shoulder. Why, it's Grease Lightning! You know what they call a quarter pounder in Amsterdam? Up your nose, whatever hose! To this day and time, I see people from that sales meeting that was with me. We start doing Travolta impressions. Different runner. My dad ran to Leslie Nielsen at a small airport in the middle of nowhere. Both their flights were delayed. They talked to the bar for an hour. My dad flew airplanes for fun, had his flight instruction manual with him. Before Leslie Nielsen left, he signed it. Nice. Don, don't eat the fish, Leslie Nielsen.
Wow.
Finally, I ran into Pam Anderson in Miami in the Fontainebleau. Literally ran into her. I was getting off an escalator, and she was walking towards it. It was crowded. I did not see her as I turned, totally trucked her, knocked her right into her ass as I bent down and said, I'm sorry. You're Pam Anderson! Helped her up, and she walked away. She kissed me on the cheek and walked away. Wow. My cheek is forever dirty. My wife will not kiss me on that side. How about that?
Did you end up watching any of the Comedy Store documentary?
I did.
Did you see the Travolta story?
I don't think I've gotten to it yet.
God, I thought that was really funny. Showtime has Mike Binder, who performed at the Comedy Store, you know, the Mitzi Shore one.
Mike's from here. He's from Bloomfield Hills, I think, or Birmingham.
So he put together this documentary series about the Comedy Store because there's so many good stories to come out of there. And he has interviewed everybody for that. Letterman, Leno.
Mark Maron.
Mark Maron's on there. Michael Keaton, who performed there. Jimmy Walker, Joe Rogan. I mean, you think of anybody who performed there, you interviewed them. And one of the first things they talked about was Freddie Prinze, who performed there and was like the first big guy from there to die. And they tell this story about Freddie, who just did massive amounts of cocaine. He was on the cover of every teenage magazine, like Tiger Beat. And he loved it. He would stand in front of the magazines, like at a bookstore, so people would recognize him. But then the year switches and Welcome Back Cotter starts, and the new person on Tiger Beat is Travolta, and then infuriated Freddie Prinze Jr. So much so that he's like, we got to go kill him. And I think he went with J.J. Walker.
Did they try to kill Travolta?
He went to go to try. I've never heard this story
J.J. Walker?
They went to go kill Travolta. So Freddie Prinze Jr. had a, what's it called, bow and arrow?
What?
Crossbow.
Crossbow. Thank you, Brandon. Had a crossbow. They walk up to his apartment, and he fires it three times into the door.
Well, what good is that going to do?
I don't know.
It's not going to kill him if he hits the door.
But I thought maybe that was just kind of a funny little story that wasn't necessarily true. I don't know what I thought. But then the next scene is the police report that John Travolta filed because he didn't know who shot three arrows into his door. And now we know it was Freddie Prinze Jr. It was a really funny story.
I wonder if Travolta is just finding that out.
I wonder if that is true. I wonder
Freddie Prinze Sr.
Sr., I'm sorry. Thank you. It's not my job.
What's the Prinze name, the kid, the lefty
Junior.
Pitcher in the movie?
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah. He has a podcast, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure it's wonderful.
He's had a podcast for a long time.
Does Carl listen to it?
No, I don't think Carl does. It's him and a buddy of his, and they're good friends, and it's okay.
Might not be that bad. Then,
it's not that
doing
bad.
It for a while.
It doesn't do terribly well. Just saying.
What is Freddie Prinze?
Prince and the Wolf? Is that it?
That's it. I don't. Is Wolf somebody? I don't believe he is. Maybe I'm wrong, but where's Freddie Prinze Jr.? He was a big movie guy.
He's married to
Sarah and Buffy.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck? That's a power couple, right? I mean, 10 years ago it is.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in a movie since 2012. Or I'm sorry, he was in The Rise of Skywalker.
Really?
I mean, I thought he seemed like he would be an up and coming young guy.
He was. He did a bunch of stuff for a while.
And what happened?
Sarah Michelle Gellar tried to do several TV shows.
What happened to her?
After Buffy, and neither one of them really sort of clicked. So.
Great question.
Was she in Charmed?
No.
No, okay.
Maybe they're just taking her Buffy money and living off of that.
Isn't it strange? I mean, usually when you're young and you're hopping, you're cruising, I mean, it takes a lot to derail it, but now it seems like it's so different. I mean, you can really lose your place fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't been in a movie since 2013.
What?
I don't think they need money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think but you never know. They probably have a big lifestyle.
Well, he's doing his podcast.
She's got the podcast, yeah. Probably making a few bucks.
And I give him credit for not having her on it.
Oh, I'm sure she's appeared.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't see her on it when I took a look, but who knows. Here's Jessica, who had a brush with Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, and now he's in GNR, isn't he? Or no, he's not in GNR now.
Tommy Stinson?
Tommy Stinson was the bass player in GNR when Duff was not in GNR.
Yeah, who's even in GNR now? Aren't they sort of in limbo?
Well, Duff / and Axel, so sort of the, you know, three of the main guys from back in the day. Gilby Clark, no. Izzy Stradlin, no. Adler's too busy in Adler's Appetite. And what other band is Adler going to be able to play at the front of the stage in front of the guitar players but Adler's Appetite? I wish I could remember the name of his other stupid band before Adler's Appetite. That is the dumbest name. Is that not the dumbest name? Shouldn't that be a restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you should give him that idea. We need to call him.
It's a play.
Steven Adler's phone number.
It's a play on Appetite for Destruction. I get it. It sucks, but I get it.
But Appetite for Destruction has nothing to do with Adler.
The band before that was just called Adler.
Was it? Okay.
You know, it's not funny, but you know, I get it.
Tommy Stinson is a great player, though. And the replacements, you know, I think there are a lot of people that just missed the replacements.
Yeah.
The replacements were one of the coolest bands of the 80s and early 90s. I mean, they were crazy. They didn't give a shit. They were, I mean, in terms of having a cult following, that is about as strong a cult as you can have. I mean, people that love the replacements love the replacements. And their shows are pretty legendary. Anyway, Tommy was the bass player. His brother was the rhythm guitar player, I believe, or was he lead guitar player? Tommy Stinson's brother. And he died, and they went on without the older Stinson. Tommy was 13 when the replacements started, and he would play in bars with the replacements. And I mean, that's quite a story in and of itself. But anyway, Jessica said a few years ago, we went to a friend's restaurant in Ferndale to see Tommy Stinson perform live. We ended up hanging out with him for a bit after the show, and then my group and I invited him and his uncle back to the local dive with us. We drank heavily till 2 a.m. on a weekday. At that point, Tommy was looking to keep partying. They were, I mean, the replacements were about as legendary a partying band as, a drinking band, I would say, as there is. Yeah. I do think some heroin entered the fray with the older Stinson. Pretty sure. Most of the group retired the night earlier, but my boyfriend and I didn't care too much about the hangovers at the time. We invited Tommy and his uncle, continued the party back at our Ferndale home. We drank for a few more hours, and Tommy rolled on my kitchen floor taking pictures with us and our dogs. It was a bizarre but fun night. And there's a picture of Tommy Stinson.
Oh my God. Why is Jessica. His uncle touring with him? That's so weird.
Because he can. So, Tommy invited him.
So this story.
Look at that picture.
That's great.
Tommy, wow. Tommy's looking, you know, he's looking like his rock star self. His hair is just a little more messy than usual.
Because he's been rolling on the floor.
Dog.
The guy who's working on the biopic about them says he's like a 12-year-old.
Oh,
at
this,
all times.
To this day?
Yeah. They've got
I believe it.
They've got it partly together, too. Like, they've got a script. They just need casting. And
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And Tommy, I think Axl Rose really liked him. I mean, I think he was a real key part of keeping, you know, Axl's music going.
Balanced.
Because he had to have other band members when all the Guns guys were gone. I think Tommy was a pretty solid part of that band for a while. And I'm not sure what, you know, I don't know if he and Westerberg do stuff. But I love Paul Westerberg. I mean, honestly, what is it about the name Paul? Paul McCartney, Paul Simon, Paul Westerberg. Does it get any better than that?
Yeah, Paul Corvino is another.
Paul Corvino is a great
Logan
guy.
Paul, your favorite blogger.
Oh, no. It's a last name. He doesn't count. Anyway.
By the way, not to interrupt the story, but did you see the pictures that I sent from the Robert Kidd Gallery in Birmingham?
I did not. I saw Robert Kidd Gallery. I was like, why is Trudy sending me something from Robert Kidd
because
Gallery?
Because that's where I was. That was part of the Saturday
event
night
that you were hosting and you got harangued into.
I did not realize how cool that was, though. That is such an amazing rock museum.
Wait, so
you've got to go.
What do you mean, rock as in rocks? Rock and roll?
No, it's like rock and roll. You walk in, and down in the basement, they have just like gigantic, huge pictures of action rock and roller, you know, like the Stones.
What?
They've got
Are you serious?
This big, gigantic David Bowie collection, Pete Townsend pictures I've never seen before, too.
Are you serial?
And these are framed and for sale and whatnot?
They're... I'm not sure if they're for sale. Maybe, but they are framed.
Are you serious? What are you talking about?
It's like a 62-inch picture of the Aladdin Sane cover of David Bowie.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Amazing.
That's what I was looking for. By the way, I cannot hear the word maybe without hearing the guy in Donahue. The word maybe, if I say it myself, I just feel like finishing the line.
That's how I feel.
Maybe.
That's how I feel. I don't know the story.
Anyway, everybody should go see that museum. It is
maybe
the best.
What I was going to say about the name Paul was this morning I heard the BBC interview with Sean Lennon, Julian Lennon, and Paul McCartney. And yesterday I listened to one with Elton John. And I got to tell you, the Elton John one was fantastic.
Sounds like a great one.
Okay, all right. I really haven't heard Elton John talk about... I knew he and John Lennon were close friends in the 70s,
yeah.
But, you know, you hear the George, John, Paul, Ringo stories all the time. I just hadn't heard that much about it, and the stories were phenomenal. And then today, McCartney was unusually good. I mean, it was a lot about the teenage years, which I always have a lot of fun reading that part, because they're just such regular guys, and they have no... Well, they want to go to where they're going, but they have no fucking idea they're going to get there, and just all the near misses and things. And
Paul McCartney.
It's a great. I really enjoyed the interview. And I'm not a big Sean Lennon fan either. I would just assume that, you know, Yoko's controlling him.
How do you do though?
He did fine. He knows their music inside out. And what surprises me, because I heard him guest DJ on the Beatles channel too, he knows Paul's music inside out. He knows George's music inside out. I mean, he really knows those solo records, which, you know, is pretty cool. Because he's John's kid. He could just care about John.
Are you serial?
So is he a performer? Or is he a rock journalist now? Or
Sean Lennon just toured with Les...
Claypool, yeah.
Yeah, Primus. And the Lennon-Claypool, or Claypool-Lennon, actually, I think which I was glad to see that it was Claypool-Lennon, because he should be named first.
Yeah.
And they had a hellacious version of Tomorrow Never Knows. That's all I saw of it. I know it came here. People liked the show. And I just saw they had a nine-minute version of Tomorrow Never Knows, which is one of John's coolest songs with the Beatles from Revolver.
I wish I had a father.
But... he said one thing today that I thought was really interesting, because I have heard that, you know, Lennon and McCartney had a few winks to each other in their solo music. And John said that. And I thought, what does he mean by that? And Sean asked McCartney what his favorite John Lennon solo song was. And Paul usually just, you know how these guys that do zillions of interviews, Paul's, Imagine's great, you know, or he'll say something like that. It always seems like it's a little bit flip when they talk about each other's music. But he said, you know, like I say, I think Beautiful Boy was an incredible song, which is about Sean, of course. It was kind of a nice answer. And Sean said that, hey, there's a weird chord in that song that I recall only hearing on The Fool in the Hill.
A chord?
And Paul kind of played it off like, I don't think it's that. But I wondered if that was maybe
the wink.
The wink, yeah.
Oh.
Nobody cares.
But that's what I mean. Sean goes really deep into their music, which I enjoy. I'm sure it's totally. If you're fast forwarding, you can stop right here.
Wow, that sounds really compelling.
Here's Tyler's Brunch with Celebrity. I've been listening to you guys since before I understood most of the jokes. I'll get right to it. So two of my fellow rock dogs and I were at a Mark Lanegan show at the Magic Bag. Hey, all right. As I was using the bathroom, another patron walked in, started using a urinal. As I was washing my hands, I heard another guy say, hell yeah, brother, man in the box. Fucking sucks they had to cancel that tour. I didn't think anything of it. Being at a Mark Lanegan show of Screaming Trees fame. Mark Lanegan's really kind of wigging out, too.
Yeah.
Some weird stuff going with him. There were bound to be plenty of grunge fans there, myself included. One of the friends I was with even had a Dirt cover album shirt on. For further context, this is at the time that GNR reunited for the tour and AI Alice in Chains opened for them instead of going on a separate tour like they had planned on doing. It all just made sense to hear this from two random chuckleheads at the show. The dude using the urinal next to me had at this point moved to the sink next to me. Funny how people remember everything.
Please be Mike Starr.
I still have not fully looked at anyone in the face, as I tend not to in the bathroom. Get in, get out, that's my motto. My urinal buddy then says, in a rather annoyed, matter-of-fact way, yeah, well, you can thank fucking excellent fucking Guns N' Roses for that shit. It was at that moment I turned to agree with this guy's anger at the canceling of the AIC show while I was holding the door for him. My urinal buddy was none other than Jerry Cantrell!
Oh, JC.
I completely forgotten that the GNR tour was in town at the time. He said, thanks, and I said nothing. It's a pretty small venue, so as not to cause a scene for the dude, I simply nodded, acknowledging I knew who he was, let him do his thing. Didn't get any free cabana or drinks for not blowing up his spot, but it was still pretty badass. Boy, that's pretty cool that he would venture over to see Mark Lanegan.
Wow, really?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Did you get Michelle's?
I'm super duper cereal.
What'd you say, Trudy?
Did you get Michelle's Brush with Greatness?
I don't know, because I'm only in one email right now. Who did Michelle brush with?
Wow, who didn't she? John Sally. Did you catch that one?
No.
Cuba Gooding Jr. She's just like, it could have been her.
Well.
Lenny Kravitz. They were all in New Orleans that night. Cute girl.
Like, that could have been me.
Which she ran into all of them in the same night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? Well, what does she say about them?
I've never written or called them on her line, but I had to now. I love the show, and I listen every day. Also, donate every month.
All right.
Thanks, Michelle. I speak in drops constantly, and sometimes they're just going off in my head right now. I'm at the beach. Ooh, it's my new favorite. If people aren't listeners, they look at you like you're crazy. We all know that. One weekend in New Orleans, summer of 2012, we had a string of celebrity encounters. We met John Sally walking alone at night on the sidewalk. He was wearing a red and black spider shirt. on the nose. Dead giveaway. He was really
well,
nice.
6'7"
in that, and you should see the pictures of them together. He's 2 feet taller than any of these girls.
Dead giveaway.
Chat about Detroit. The next day, we met Mark Anderson from the Hornets in line at the famous famous sandwich place, and he was dating Gia, the Bachelor contestant who later killed herself.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was kidding. He dated. That's right. Yeah? Yeah, I remember him. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was it him?
No. Oh. I don't think he picked Gia, but she was smoking hot. Oh my God! And she was on the Bachelor in Paradise shows and stuff. And then that was really weird.
Why'd she kill herself? Do you know?
I don't know. It was really strange. I mean, how do you explain something like that? But anyway, so
according to an interview on Dr. Phil, was the pressures of celebrity image and finding love and happiness that caused her suicide.
So why didn't Dr. Phil off himself? What a stupid doctor Dr. Phil is.
Mark Anderson was insanely nice, ate lunch at our table, tipped on our behalf, and spilled about Dwight Howard being a douche. And later on that night, they met Lenny Kravitz and Cuba Gooding Jr., who were in town.
These girls have to be really cute. Did she include a picture?
Yes, she did, several.
Okay. I need to see the picture.
Lenny, she said, wasn't friendly at all, but he was super hot and short.
And stunk.
He had a very young blonde girl with him in hot pants. Cuba invited a group of four girls to go to the next bar with him and bought strong drinks. I don't remember him being handsy, but I know.
Wait, who bought Ford?
Cuba Gooding.
Oh, Cuba.
Jr. This is after Lenny.
Wait, that could have been me.
Cuban bought them drinks, and she realized that he was like coming on to her cousin who was busty and blonde. We hung out for about an hour. He was hammered. Of course.
Surprise!
And at first refused to picture, but after a while he agreed, and after a few drinks. They talked football with Cuba's cousin who played for the Jets. All he could think of later
was Cuba's cousin trying to pick up crumbs?
And then he started coming on to me.
All I could think of, she said, was it could have been me assaulted by Cuba. We ended up having beignets with the co-star of The Butler who was on Tremé. I don't know. I watched that show for a minute.
I like Tremé.
James Dumont.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had no idea who he was, but he kept telling us all the shows he was on. Added me as a friend on Facebook.
He added as a friend?
Which guy?
His name
Cuba's cousin?
James Dumont.
Cuba's friend?
Another co-star of The Butler. What is that? The movie? The Butler?
Oh,
yeah. The 2013 movie.
Okay, but wait, isn't this the guy that plays for the Jets?
No, it's an actor.
I thought you said somebody played for the Jets in this story.
Somebody did play for the Jets, Cuba's cousin.
Oh, okay.
Who was trying to get the crumbs. And then they moved on, and the next morning they had beignets with this guy.
Okay.
And he kept saying what shows he was on. Editors. Then on Facebook, he was a nice guy. He was going to take us to Tom Arnold's, but it was 4 a.m. Tom didn't answer his phone. Craziest thing kind of ever. Deal. Here are the pictures as proof.
Tom didn't answer his phone. I got to see.
What is this, amateur hour?
James Dumont, by the way, was one of the guys in the Righteous Gemstones.
Of course, they're gorgeous.
That was a buddy.
Funny one.
Yeah. Isn't he the one with the tiny dick?
Yes, he's the one whose penis they pause on.
Oh, my God, Jen Selye looks so tall.
I wonder if she knew how tiny his penis was.
They're all wearing shorts. Of course, Cuba Gooding wanted them.
And then I guess that's Cuba.
Oh.
Wait, who's that?
Yeah, boy. Cuba's so hammered. Oh, yeah. It's four cute girls running around, and they're bound to get some brushes with a celebrity. I think that makes total sense.
They're adorable, and thanks, Michelle.
Correction, because the Bachelor chick, Gia, she was dating Ryan Anderson. Yeah. I thought you said Mark Anderson.
Yeah, I think she did say Mark Anderson. Anyway, thanks,
Maybe
Michelle.
She's confused. What's it say? Cuba's cousin. I think he went along with Cuba Gooding, knowing that Cuba would upset the women, and then he could be understanding. And
he could swoop in.
Yeah, he could swoop in. Exactly. I love the word swoop, by the way. Swooping.
Yeah, pick up the brokenhearted. None of that in that group, though. They looked like they were pretty together.
They looked like they had a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I'll do one more. There's so many of these.
You haven't done Charles's yet.
Charles. Oh, yeah. That one is really
so
pretty
weird.
Different. Charles, way behind the podcast, would you guys talk about people having brushed with celebrities? I believe my grandmother-in-law has perhaps the weirdest combination of celebrity interactions ever. She grew up in Austria during World War II, and when she was a teenager, she worked in a Nazi tank factory where she met Hitler. Canceler!
She met Hitler.
Then after the war, she met my grandfather-in-law, moved to the U.S. They lived down... Grandfather-in-law, that's weird. I've never heard anybody say that, but I know what you mean. They lived down south. He worked as a repairman. He got a job fixing the ovens in the original Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they met the actual Colonel Sanders.
Wow.
Oh. Convinced he's the only person to ever meet his combination of celebrities.
You don't know. Maybe the Colonel had ties to Hitler.
That's pretty.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong.
It's pretty interesting.
I just feel like talking to Colonel Sanders must have been tedious because of the outtakes. Remember his outtakes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a mess. He had no business doing those spots anymore. That's why they had to get all these new colonels.
I gotta see if I can find them.
Oh, they're so pathetic. I mean, I expect the people
chicken
start,
fucker!
I expect people to start yelling at him.
Let's see if this is a good one here.
And hitting with blunt objects. So they can hurry up.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra crisp. Come on over and try my crisp. It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good, right, Milton? You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down.
Imagine editing this commercial.
That real crispy crust that some folks
like. Oh, really?
Crispy crust.
I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that
Gatorade.
Crispy, that real crispy chicken crust. Yeah, yet it's entirely different. No.
This will be Wild Lines 30, take one.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Start again.
He said cut it.
No, go ahead.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet, tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
That's all right, cut it.
It's better.
Take two.
Eat that chicken.
Okay, we're recording.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe...
Yeah.
Take three.
It's entirely different.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Not a colonel.
Couldn't they have just taken all those and just edited out the, wait a minute, no. And then they have a commercial.
I'm sure it'll
probably
flow.
5 minutes long.
They don't be taking care of their chicken totally. Right, you feel me?
How pathetic. Okay, let's see. Greg, back in 2000, my family went to Champs for dinner. I was 15 at the time. Since Drew can only speed read and not do math, I was born in 1985. I do math. I just don't know 1 year from 14 years. The last 15 years, I won't know what year it is. I saw Vinnie Johnson at the bar. He's holding court, like Drew says Dave Rosema does. Oh, I didn't know. Really? So Vinnie holds court, too. Place is packed because Michigan is playing Northwestern. Side note, it's bad memories for the cult because we lost the game, blew the chance at the Rose Bowl. I waited for the right moment to go talk to Vinny. I got up there, and he assumed I was going to ask for an autograph. He asked if I had anything he wanted to sign, and I said no. He had a pad of paper, was ready to give me an autograph on that, but I said, thanks, I actually wanted to ask you a couple questions. And I asked him what went wrong in Boston. He immediately knew what I was going to ask before I finished the question. During Game 5 of the 87 Conference Finals, is that when Isaiah... threw the ball away?
Yeah, to DJ. To
Bird with the steal! Bird with the steal!
Steal my bird, pass to DJ.
And you know about that. And I said, from what I've read, you guys would have gone to the finals, gotten that experience, likely would have won in 88, where you guys got screwed in game 6. In the end, you guys should have won 3 straight titles. He looked dumbfounded. He said I was right. He didn't think they were good enough to beat the 87 Lakers, but definitely good enough to beat the 87 Celtics. He said Chuck was trying to get someone's attention to call timeout, but no one heard or saw him. The garden was so loud, everyone lost their train of thought about what we should have done. He said, Chuck always said to look at the bench after the opponent made a basket in the final minute before inbounding the ball. Then he said, you had a second question. Let me guess that was. He said, you want to know what the actual play was ran for during game 5 of the 1990 finals instead of me with a fadeaway shot over a player foot taller. And I said, exactly. He laughed, said he was.
Slater to Y banana.
He was happy to talk about the play. He said he was the third option. Zeke was the first. He was supposed to drive and go to the basket, kick it out to Jody in the corner. Joe never moved. Zeke didn't drive. So I was supposed to do a give and go with Zeke. But as soon as he gave the ball to me, he didn't go to the basket because Cried was playing off. So I was stranded, and I put up the prayer, and it was answered. Wow. Then he had the biggest smile on his face telling his story. He said if I was older, he'd buy me a shot for not asking about for an autograph or picture. Instead, he got me a Coke and gave me his autograph anyway. Anyway, that's cool.
I'm a good dude.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of the local... brushes with celebrities are pretty good, generally. I mean, bad ones are more fun, but... our friends at Zot Ford in Holly and Deals in the D... Wait, I did Truck Month. Didn't I do Truck Month already? I did. So I'll do Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, because they're kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and... If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with leasing a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month, or the new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And then how about pure performance? Pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Lease the new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, they got them. Plus, you have time to custom order Wrangler to your specs. So surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Royal Oak, still rocking with your Royal Oak Bucks. Almost $200,000 spent in Royal Oak Bucks, $20 at a time. Unbelievable. Now, here's the new contest. Those of you who have $20 to spend, you've still got some time. Check your expiration date because they're probably in the next 3 weeks or so. But meanwhile, here's how you can win $1,000 in Royal Oak Bucks. Post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Tag at downtown underscore Royal Oak and use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. Five winners will be selected at random. You get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at participating local businesses. Head to Royal Oak's Instagram page to follow along and learn more. We can click the link on our website, too, right?
Yep.
And that goes till October the 11th. And Trudy, what up with Dr. Roche?
Oh, Dr. Roche has all kinds of Get You By Better deals in October. People realize what they look like sometimes in bad lighting over a Zoom meeting and have come to him for solutions for that. Like Evolve, those are treatments to tighten, tone, and trim. And all of these procedures, by the way, are non-invasive. Evolve Verjuice to smooth out your skin. And Zerona for cellulite. And all of those together, six treatments of each, usually $5,800. $2,500 right now to tighten and tone yourself up completely in a non-invasive way with Dr. Roche. You can get a consult on that at 248-338-1110. And they can do a teleconsultation, too, where they can, you know, look at what you're pointing to some of the things that you, the trouble spots that you feel you need to work on. Liposuction and LipoTight in October. $500 off from one area. And an autumn augmentation, that's a $3,500 saline breast implant special for fall, plus BBL for fine lines and brown spots, stuff that was caused by summer sun damage. And the CBD products that are 25% off. So check them out. Again, the phone number is 248-338-1110. For a teleconsultation over maybe your lunch hour, get it in, because if everybody has to go back to work, then you'll look dramatically different, all young again and beautiful.
All righty.
Right?
For those people that think Matt Patricia is going to be the first coach fired, wrong.
Somebody's fired?
Yeah, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, what was he?
Out and down in Houston, which is funny because he ran everything down there. He was also their general manager. But 0-4 start, and he's blown out, finally.
Well, I
should have been blown out a while ago. I always liked him. I don't know.
He seems like a really good guy. He did a great job at Penn State.
Yeah, took over.
Yeah, that was a tough situation he had to take over.
And I remember Bacon wrote a lot about him in his book. Remember, he was embedded with Penn State. He just seemed like a really good dude. Too bad he couldn't win.
Well, as far as the Lions, I couldn't resist turning 97-1 on today because it's Monday after another crazy, stupid Lions loss.
97.1
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Oh my God.
And Matty Patty, I mean, this has been such a total, absolute disaster. I still can't figure out how they justify the 9-7 isn't good enough. So they fire the previous guy. And I'm not saying they should have kept Caldwell. I did like him. I thought he's a good guy. The players responded to him. I mean, he did a good job. They were 8 over .500 in 4 years. That's good for the Lions.
I didn't have a problem with Caldwell.
But if you say that that's not good enough, then you have to do as well or close or better. I mean, you got to do better soon. That was not a bad team. And Dan Orlovsky today went apeshit because they keep suggesting, and Matty Patty is suggesting that there was a lot of work to do with this team. And he says, that is BS. We were a good team, and the culture was very good with the Lions. And honestly, you know, looking back at Martin Mayhew, I didn't think he was that bad.
Mayhew had some issues.
He had some, there were some ups and downs, but I don't think Quinn is any better.
Oh, clearly not, no.
So I don't understand what in the world, how are they able to say 9-7 isn't good enough, and then a year later and 2 years later, then suddenly it's a rebuild.
I just
you turned a good team into a rebuild. What does that mean?
I'd love to know how many years he thinks he's supposed to take to turn the team around from 9-7.
I can't tell you. I don't know if I can name anybody who took a winning team, turned it into a terribly losing team over 2 years, and then turned it around the third year. That's pretty unusual.
No.
So anyway, this whole thing with the Ford family, just people, I mean, it just gets worse and worse every time this happens. And all I can say is you can blame the Ford family for certain things, but you can't blame them or say that they can't win until they sell the team. If they hired the right people, they could win.
Of course.
And I remember when this used to come up with
the knock on old man Ford was that he was too loyal.
He kept people around too long.
He apparently got off because Matt Millen would come hang out with him in his office.
Yeah, no, there were some screwy things. There have been many mistakes, but usually it's staying too long with the wrong people. They've never gotten the right people in there. Caldwell was the closest, probably.
Yep.
But anyway, it reminded me of the Indianapolis Colts because they used to say that as long as old man Irsay owned the team and then Jimmy, they could never win. Bob Irsay was crazy and, you know, it just wasn't going to work. And they had a lot of bad publicity over the years. But then Jimmy hired Bill Tobin when he, I think his father had a stroke and was incapacitated. And then later brought in Bill Polian in 97. Polian, you know, it doesn't matter who the owner is.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Polian was a great, you know, he had revamped Buffalo for those four Super Bowls. Yep. He had handled the Carolina Panthers for 3 years, got them the NFC Championship year two. So they draft Peyton Manning. They hired Jim Mora. They draft Edgerrin James. They made good decisions. Look at all the people who, you know, that beat the shit out of us. And I go, where'd that guy come from? I'm looking up, you know, Kamara.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara
yesterday. I'm going, where'd this guy come from? I don't remember this guy. Oh, third round pick. Wow. How did they pick such a great guy in the third round?
Alvin!
Why don't we ever do that? And anyway, they move on, and eventually they decide Mora can't get it done after 4 years, and they hire Tony Dungy. And it took Tony Dungy 5 years.
Yeah.
But they got better. They were losing to New England every year in the playoffs, and then they were losing 21-3.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
There you go. And they came back and beat them 38-34 in that crazy championship game, and then they beat the Bears in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, that was it took a long time to turn that thing around. But
I was talking to someone who spends a lot of time covering sports and talks a lot. I don't want to out the person, but he said, under Caldwell, the locker room was just totally different. Like, the players loved him. They were all on the same page. But this, and I don't think this is much of a surprise, but under Matt Patricia, it's a very divisive locker room. A lot of finger pointing.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that did not happen with Caldwell. They were together.
Yeah, no,
they
that's what I was just saying. Yeah, they loved him.
And you know,
it's kind of what I think Orlovsky said that today about the culture.
He did say that. He did say that.
Yeah, but it apparently was just like a switch when Patricia came in.
Well, I find him unlikable. I've never liked him. I hate the way he talks to the media, like, oh, we got to coach better, we got to play better. You're not saying anything.
Yeah, that crazy spring break. No one wants to talk.
Well, that's how his job started with a rape allegation that was, you know, the
that
girl
went nowhere
was,
because the victim didn't want to talk.
Right, and she didn't show up in court, and so it got thrown out. But you know, reading about it was not very pleasant, and he really blew that off too.
Yeah.
So he's just really good at blowing everyone off, and I just don't
like
it.
That's the one thing he learned from Bill Belichick. How to blow things off and just
but
move
Bill
on.
Belichick has very little to blow off. This guy is blowing off loss after loss after loss. You know, oh, we got to coach better. Fuck you. You know, sort of like he's above it all. He thinks he is Bill. He thinks he's earned Bill Belichick's cachet, and he has not. And neither has Bob Quinn. So they both.
But wait. He called that one play that one time in the fourth quarter.
Oh yeah. And it was kind of like Stuttering John bringing up jokes of his from 20 years ago,
Or the award he got for playing trumpet in second grade.
Who ever thought Matt Patricia be compared to Stuttering John someday?
He's just an embarrassment.
And
he's really the coach this team deserves.
They need to start over. They need to just start all over. I hate to say that, but
I got to imagine they're going to give them these two games, the Jacksonville and Atlanta game. If they lose those two to those two sorry teams,
I know. It's going to get really loud. It's going to get really embarrassing. And I think sometimes.
The question is if they win one and lose one of those, what do they do? They just hold
on. He's not going to turn this team around.
If they win both, they're 3-3. So.
You're
not going to fire him then.
I don't understand this business of, the 35 games so far are a total disaster, but if he can win two out of the next three, then he's good. No, it's a fucking disaster. They're not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, but Caldwell did turn that team around the 1 year. Didn't they start?
They won seven out of their last eight games, which I think was a tribute to him that he kept the team together. Yeah. But he didn't get any medals for that. All right, you better get it together, Caldwell.
I don't think Patricia's going to get it together, but these are two really winnable games after the bye.
If he wins them or loses them, I don't think it makes one bit of difference.
Oh. 97.1!
I hate to say it, too, but I think it's probably time to move on from Matt Stafford because...
To where?
Oh, I think somebody would want him.
Really?
I really do.
This is what I hate about sports now. What's left on his contract? You have to know the contract.
I think he has a year left after this year, doesn't he?
Well, didn't he just restructure it, too?
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I thought
he restructured it. No, I think it was about signing bonuses.
He signed through the 2023 season.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been through how many offensive coordinators? He's been through three regimes of coaches, and, it's just not working.
That's funny. When you put it that way, I actually feel bad for the guy.
I do, too.
He's regressed horribly this year.
I think they have a whole restructuring to do, and they need to have a young quarterback because how long can Matt Stafford play? Is he going to play at least 45 like Tom? I don't think so.
He is young for as many years as he's played.
He's 32.
He's got some good years left, but are they going to be a rebuilt team in 3 years?
They've got to draft a quarterback next year.
I don't know. I kind of felt
we call
like
him young Tom Brady.
I sort of felt like they should have taken if Tua, whatever his name is indeed proves to be healthy. It seemed like everybody liked him.
I don't necessarily take one in the first round. I remember they could have taken a Dak Prescott. How great would that have been?
What round did he go in?
Like third?
Are you kidding?
Or earlier.
See, look at how these people get these people. Why don't we ever get people like this?
Yeah. Are you saying you wanted them to take Tua with the third overall pick?
I don't know what the cornerback is. Maybe he'll be a superstar. I don't know. If he was that good. I mean, didn't people want Tua?
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Well, yes. I think he hasn't played it down yet, so who knows?
Quarterback blindness,
Well, anyway, we're not a sports podcast. So
you know who the coach is of Tua right now?
Who?
Well, the assistant coach is Jim Caldwell.
Full circle.
He's had some success with quarterbacks. He had a couple of Stafford's best years. He had Peyton Manning in some great, great years.
What a mess.
Well, today, Brandon sent me the new pictures from Rebel, the sizzling Rebel Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Did you get a boner?
No. I like her okay, but she says she's 6.5 pounds away from her goal of 165 pounds.
Good for her.
And she is flaunting her slimmed down figure. And they also revealed that the 40-year-old Rebel Wilson is dating the 29-year-old Bush heir, Jacob Bush.
What?
And I predict
good score.
He dumps her unless he's been cut out of the Bush family fortune. If he's been cut out of the Bush family fortune, maybe he won't dump her. And the story was suggesting that the age difference shouldn't be any big deal because he was dating the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Adrienne Maloof, who's the sister of the owners
the Maloof
of
brothers.
And she's 59.
Huh.
What does Adrienne Maloof look? I mean,
well, I wanted to look up this Bush dude.
Bush. Oh, he's a stud. He's a kind of a studly looking guy. I just thought this guy could do better. I don't know. He's a Bush too, unless he's out of the money. If he's out of the money,
about? She looks great now.
She's sizzling. Really, she's all yours. I just don't like her.
I don't think she looks that great. I think she's still fat, to be honest. I mean,
hey, Wilson, you're still fat.
Well, 165 pounds.
Hey, props she's to her for making you know making though. An
no,
effort
I'm
of it.
For
Jesus,
her. I'm just saying this running around going, hey, look how hot I am. It's always a bad idea.
No, you know, I haven't seen her say look how hot I am once. I have seen publications say, hey, look how hot she is. It's not her fault. She's losing weight. And she's looking good.
Well, I'm happy for her, but
someone's jelly that
somebody,
she lost all this weight and you
somebody brought up
pounds.
That she's 6.5 pounds away from 165 and.
Yeah. Did you hear that shot, Brandon? Just
shit.
Threw?
No, I didn't.
Shot across your bow. Say it again, Brandon.
I only was making the observation that Rebel Wilson has lost like 100 pounds and you've put on 12.
He suggests you might be jelly.
I also have a lifetime of keeping my weight at a relatively reasonable level. She does not. So I don't think you want to run around talking about how skinny you are when you really aren't, and you haven't really proven that you can keep yourself there.
Aside from all that,
I'm happy for her.
Who wants to be around her? She's annoying.
Yeah, she's terribly annoying.
Why?
Why is she annoying?
Yeah.
I don't know why she's annoying. She just is. Remember when she hosted that award show?
No, I'm just not. I don't know.
What's your favorite Rebel
Wilson? That
was Fat
Rebel. Skinny Rebel is charming.
My God, Brandon, you have the hots.
And she's not ready. I'm just saying, she's not annoying.
What's your favorite Rebel Wilson thing ever? What's your favorite? What do you remember?
You sound like
about
a big fan.
Boy,
it's gonna be a terrible movie. Whatever.
He's probably got a bunch of her movies on his list. Knowing his
wasn't
list,
she was in Bridesmaid. She had a little small cameo. It was very funny.
It was hilarious.
She was eating.
Yeah, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. The comments were certainly, comments always give you a little idea of how people feel about a story like this.
Oh, God.
And here's one. Let's see. Can't stand her, but she lost heaps and could lose a few heaps more.
Oh, Jesus.
Next one is, everybody talks body positivity till they go and lose the weight. At least she knows the talking points well for when she regains the pounds.
Wow.
It is kind of true, though. I mean, hey, I'm so happy at 400 pounds. This is great. And then all of a sudden, wait, you're trying to lose 300 pounds. What's the deal? I thought you were so happy at 400 pounds.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, you know what? I'm starting to shift here. I'm looking at some of the things she said. You know how they called her Fat Amy? Well, now
she's cocky. She thinks she's super duper hot. She thinks she's hotter than she is.
She says, just call me Fit Amy.
Here's some more, a few more comments. Will this make her funny now?
Thank you. That's the best comment.
What?
That's great.
This is the most common comment. Why do these celebs say they're so happy being overweight, body confident, then make a big deal out of losing all the flab? I mean, isn't it a fair thing to say? I mean, if you're going to comment about how wonderful your weight is, nobody should ever criticize you.
Just remember, body positive does not equal healthy. I'm a prime example of that.
Why don't you just lose the weight and just lose the weight? I mean, do you have to go around saying, "Hey, look at me now! Whoa, am I fucking hot?"
You know, I've been thinking about going paleo.
Don't group me with those slobs anymore. I'm in the hot group now.
I agree.
Why don't you let AIDS help you lose weight?
She should just appear. Like, remember when Jonah Hill lost all that weight and didn't make a big deal of it?
No, he recognized him. But
oh my God, who's that? He kind of looked like a thin Jonah Hill.
And he did gain it.
Put it all back, yeah.
And then he lost it again.
Did he?
I think currently he's skinny.
He looks bizarre. Oh. I mean, he looks really
big
bizarre.
Big weight, Hill.
Then she, let's see, here's some more comments. Finishing a hike in full makeup and a dress. Try again. Because she's wearing a red dress, and she says she just took a hike.
Medically speaking, for your height, your weight puts you in what we call the disgusting range.
Next one. Gee, I guess being fat isn't so great after all, despite what the media tells us.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
This guy says, I never thought I'd weigh more than Rebel Wilson, even for the brief stretch before she gains it back.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, people aren't very nice. But anyway, I think she looks fine. I really do. I think she looks nice. She looks hotter than she looks.
I'm glad
she's
happy.
Sizzling.
She's sizzling.
I'm rooting for her. I am. I'm always rooting for her. She's. I'm a fan. She's a really funny gal.
Shut up.
Perez Hilton's book.
Yeah.
TMI, My Life in Scandal. And I just was reading a little... You know, they had a little clip with it.
Hi, Mario.
How he was such great friends with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And then, now, if he was such great friends Why did he have to fly to Australia to interview her?
Yeah, well, because that's where she was.
And then she was bombed, and she stormed off when she didn't like a question. But in the previous part, he's saying that, oh, yeah, we talked to him for hours. They used to call her wifey. And then he has to fly to Australia to talk to her?
Well, I think part of his point, too, is how she became really famous.
Yeah, and then she started using him to manipulate. She started manipulating him by telling him, oh, that Christina Aguilera, that stupid fucking bitch, she's ripping me off. And then Perez would sort of pass it along in his way.
Shit on everyone. There's my favorite story that's come out so far.
Yeah, I love how he craps on everyone and says, oh, you know, I'm sorry I did that because I don't have to do that. I can still be great. Yeah, because now everyone knows you because you did that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what made
Isn't that kind of bullshit? That's
kind of the criticism a lot of people have. I don't, but a lot of people have with Stern.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's woke and has become friends with people.
I have to tell you, Howard being woke is a little much for me to take sometimes. Because then I hear him, he has Wendy the Slow Adult on.
Sure.
And they're trying to convert her from a Trump fan to a Biden fan by having Biden call her and this guy doing a Biden voice. The whole whack pack thing, that's not terribly
woke. No, he doesn't call her the retard anymore, though. He calls her the slow adult, so it's fine.
If he didn't talk about her shitting her pants all the time and asking her for, incredible detail, you know, when she dumped last in her pants, I just don't feel like he's fully woke. And now it's Cocktober on the show.
He seems to only be woke about the celebrities.
Stop saying woke.
And he's more of a left-leaning political person than I think he would say in the past, probably. I don't know. You know, he was talking about Trump, and he insisted that if Trump didn't get the antibody cocktail he got, that he'd be dead. But that's a little strong statement.
Just laughing because I just got like...
All a lie.
Just got like 4 emails from Porter Davis.
Oh, he finally caught up.
Okay. Oh, no.
And then Paris Hilton accused... I really never liked this guy. I don't know why.
Perez Hilton?
Yeah, he always annoyed me.
He was very annoying. He had one of the original shields. You were never allowed to make
it. Yeah, I thought he was very judgy while he ripped the shit out of people.
Exactly, yeah.
He accused, Lady Gaga accused him for stalking her because he was looking at a place in her building, which all I could think of was, if I was Lady Gaga and Perez Hilton was thinking of moving into my building, I would think, I shouldn't be living in this building because I'm Lady Gaga and he's Perez Hilton. What is he doing in my building? But, maybe he's made a shit ton of money. I guess he has.
Read that John Mayer story. The quotes in there are pretty funny because he's got a John Mayer story.
Everybody's got a John Mayer story.
Yeah.
Cleverly recalls the time he made out with John Mayer. 2007, Hilton had finished co-hosting MTV's New Year's Eve celebrations with Christina Aguilera, and two of them decided to hit a club in Chelsea. Well, then they met up with Jessica Simpson, her then-boyfriend John Mayer. As the quartet were seated, the gossip blogger, 42, alleges that Mayer leaned in and announced, I like to watch gay porn, you know?
What? What a weird thing to say.
Why would he tell Perez Hilton that?
Because he knew Perez was gay.
I'm not gay.
He's also a gossip columnist.
Yeah.
Mayer!
The crooner then helpfully added, my favorite porn star is Brent Corrigan. He really turns me on. Brandon, what? Tell us about Brent Corrigan.
Why would I know anything about Brent Corrigan?
You know everything
all the
about
male
the porn
stars. Yeah.
I don't know anything about Brent Corrigan. I just don't.
Don't pretend you don't know his name is Brent Corrigan.
Just look at your boyfriend and say, you and I both know this is weird. Close your eyes and do it and get it over with and hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
All right. His real name is Sean Lockhart. That's all the information.
Oh, so you were confused because he was using a stage name and you know him more personally.
Doesn't Sean Lockhart sound like the gay porn name?
Yeah.
Hilton writes that after that, things proceeded very quickly as Mayer leaned in and shoved his tongue into Hilton's mouth. Despite being momentarily paralyzed, the gossip maven began making out with Mayer. I don't think I believe that. No. I really.
You don't think
do you believe that? Is John Mayer confirmed this?
Not really, because wasn't Jessica. Didn't you see Jessica Simpson was there?
Yeah, sexual napalm. He's with sexual napalm and he's going to make out with Perez Hilton?
Oh, maybe he's stronger napalm.
Brett Corrigan is the subject of the film King Cobra, which is now streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, there's a murder that's kind of intertwined with Brent Corrigan and Brian Kaukas.
Kaukas? Is that his real name?
How do you spell his name?
K-O-C-I-S.
See, I would have called him Kosis, okay? But fortunately, Brandon knows the pronunciations. First of all, John Mayer, if he was bisexual, he could have any girl or any guy. Yeah, would he really? No. Is Perez Hilton really the guy he would be just so incredibly attracted to? Nope. He had to make out with him.
No, and I think he hit the nail on the head. The fact that he's a gossip columnist. Why would he ever do that?
No, he wouldn't.
That does not make sense.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that doesn't make sense. Do you see that Chris Pratt is getting beat up because he made a joke? He's telling people this is the most important election of our lives. Please, please vote. You must vote for the People's Choice Awards. People are actually angry. I mean, angry. Calling him tone deaf and prit shows his privilege.
Shut the fuck up. That's a
what
great.
The fuck is
that
wrong
is a
with
great
people?
Joke, and that is a Chris Pratt type joke. That's shut up, people.
I swear, this world is so, so full of assholes and judgy, tattletale people.
Twitter
I'm so
you,
sick of it. God.
Dumb.
And, you know, I actually wondered, somebody sent me this clip saying, cancel Al Michaels! And they were kidding, but I'm like, cancel Al Michaels? What did Al Michaels do? And then I hear Al Michaels in the clip.
Oh, I saw that. Is
talking
this
about the flag on the plane. He calls it a fag.
Oh, no, not that. I'm sorry.
Now, we've had people mistakenly say the N-word. We have people mispronounce Martin Luther King's name. They lost their job. So does Al Michaels lose his job?
That's clearly a slip.
So were the other ones!
Well, Tom Brenneman wasn't.
No, Tom Brenneman wasn't, but the guy, the tweet with the nuggets.
Oh, the Twitter type?
Yeah, the two people with Martin Luther King? Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
if you want
what is it?
Fired.
No, I don't want him fired. I don't want anyone fired. But I understand why. Could someone just explain why Al Michaels isn't fired and the other people are? That's all I want.
I don't know. Call ESPN. Maybe he will be. Call NBC.
I'll tell you why. It's because Al Michaels is a bigger star, so he is not subjected to this judgy bullshit.
No, it's because Tom Brenneman wasn't trying to say
I'm not talking about Tom Brenneman. I'm talking about the anchor and the weather people who mispronounced Martin Luther King's name, and the sportscaster for the Charlotte Hornets who mistyped Nuggets.
No,
I don't think anyone believes any of those three people meant to insult anyone. And I don't think Al Michaels did either. But Al Michaels is a huge star, and so Al Michaels will... I mean, essentially what you're doing when you blow people out for that is you're expanding the privilege of powerful people like Al Michaels by holding them, saying, oh, well, he obviously meant flag. Well, so the other people obviously meant what they meant. But because they're little people, we'll just pick on them and unload on
maybe
them.
Maybe it's the difference of Twitter and broadcast and saying something.
The broadcast people were fired. The guy in Rochester and the guy in St. Louis were
the
fired.
The weatherman?
Yeah, the weatherman and the anchorman. The weatherman had been at the station for 24 years or something.
Did you see what happened? That you're talking about the Rochester, New York one?
Yeah, the guy that mispronounced Martin Luther King.
Didn't the mayor just get pulled up on... Wasn't she just indicted
Yeah,
for
she's one of the ones that wanted him fired, too.
Wasn't she just indicted?
Yeah. She is a disaster. I don't really know what she's done, but yeah, I think they were talking about... People were asking for her to resign. I don't know the story that well. But
indicted on campaign finance charges 3 days ago.
Al Michaels is also bitching about wearing a mask last night.
That's
people
that's
all
what I thought.
Angry
you were
about
to.
That.
Yeah, because at the very end, he's like, "Let's get rid of these now."
He said, "We're going to get lollipops at the end of the game for wearing these." Oh, this country is just. I mean, I don't know how people have the energy to get so mad about something so stupid.
Wonder how much of it's real.
It depends on who does it and who's angry.
Well, it's also the fire that it's stoked on, which is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call.
That guy, the press conference today with the doctor was really funny because this guy was so angry about, is it safe at the White House? You know, for Trump going back to the White House. Mm-hmm. Is he safe there? Yeah, I'm sure nobody looks into this, and I'm sure there's all the people with COVID are still having meetings, and nobody's being tested. So, I mean, great point. Whatever. Oh, there was some true crime. There was a couple missing in Colorado on Friday, since Friday, and they found a 72 and 73-year-old couple. They found them. They lived in murder-suicide in the mountains.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, that's weird. A lot of weird stuff going on in Colorado ever since Chris Watts.
Chris Watts? Well, the other guy, too, that got rid of his wife.
Yeah. Oh, my God, and made his ex-girlfriend clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did?
I forgot that dude's name.
And no word from Bolte?
No.
No, he never returned my text.
Bolte is possibly the hardest person to get a hold of. Porter is the hardest person to get the actual interview going with.
Fuck you, Tom.
I saw this true crime story this morning. It was a Miami story about a psychiatrist and his son, who were super close. The son had moved in because his mother had died. She was older, you know, 80s or something. So he moved in with his dad to sort of help him out. Yeah. And he'd just gotten divorced, and he had a girlfriend. So he'd stay at the girlfriend's. He'd stay with his dad, you know, kind of sort of back and forth. And they were super close. They had won father-son marathon events together. And
whoa.
All sorts of other things. And they fished together. And
how nice.
Yeah, they were, you know, a very happy father-son relationship. Oh. And both of them were shot to death inside this, I'm calling it a sort of, suggesting it was kind of a mansion. It was in Coral Gables around Miami.
Yeah.
And it was right on the water. It was really nice, but actually in the crime scene pictures, I was noticing what a mess the house was.
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot of crap. It was like, this house needs to be decrapped. There's too much crap. There's just stuff everywhere.
Oh, it must have been bad. Yeah.
What, it was a pigsty, or were they just like
smells
collectors
kinda gamey in here.
Or hoarders? Or
It looked kind of hoardy.
Borderline.
It looked like everything was old, too. Like the TVs were too old for 2003, even. I was like, that TV looks old. It was like the psychiatrist's father just was like, what's wrong with that TV? It's perfectly fine. Why would we get a new one? And the furniture looked kind of old, and the carpet looked old. It was clean, but it was old. Everything just looked old. I could just smell the place looking at the crime scene photos.
So there were, what is that called, house poor? Or your?
No, I think the guy, he bought a really nice house on the water outside, around Miami.
And you just can't afford to put anything in it.
I just think he's old.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
I think he's just old and nobody forced him to update it. Like
so
maybe
I
his
noticed
wife died.
Your home smells of feces.
I think he was perfectly happy, but it just, I would have, you know, if I could Photoshop, I would have really wanted to clean up the crime scene photos because there was too much shit in the house. And then the people that murdered him messed up other shit. But that's what I was trying to determine. Like, okay, what's messed up shit? And then, no, that's not messed up because that shelf is just full of shit, man. What are all those? There's paperbacks all over the, hundreds of them on this shelf. And it just looked like, it looked a little hoarderish. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, they were shot to death, tragically. And of course, it's this psychiatrist is the head of all these associations. The son is a registered nurse. They're both just beloved guys. And they start poking around at all these things. And
the son did it. I'm just going to guess. No?
No, the son didn't do it.
Was it murder-suicide?
No, it was not.
His girlfriend.
No, although the girlfriend
was Dr. Paul Jarrett.
Yes, it is.
His
Dr.
Name
Paul
is
Jarrett,
Jarrett.
And Greg Jarrett. And they're looking at all these people. Of course, they were looking at the sister who's alive. He had two other sons who had died, one of a heroin overdose and one was in a car accident. So there'd been a lot of tragedy, and the mother had just died too.
Jesus.
Anyway, the sister was accounted for, the girlfriend was accounted for. Oh yeah, Cat Stevens wrote the song about them. I forgot about that. The
song's about the story.
Why did he re-record Father and Son where he uses him now with his son voice from 1971?
I
thought that was
brilliant.
Really stupid.
He, you know what? He just played on Colbert. He did because of the new album, and he did Wild World.
Yeah.
And he really made it a little bit crazy at the end.
Oh, man.
Really? I want to see that.
I'll finish the story. I'll cue it up.
Okay.
Because I really dig that. Like, I love that song, Wild World. I see.
I love
great.
That song too. That album, T for the Tillerman, is
so it's so fucking good. And so then I'm watching this, and I'm like, "Hey, he's making this too weird for me."
I'll have to watch that.
I'll cue it up.
Can
go
cue
ahead.
It up? I just want to say, too, in Father and Son, that I always relate to the son more than the father. Even though I'm 60 years old. And yeah. How can I try to explain?
Stop telling me what to do.
When I do, he turns away. It's always been the same old story. Okay, so they start looking at, you know, well, what about Dr. Jared? You know, he's got this younger lady working for him. Oh, who's she? And turned out that, well, she looks like she might have embezzled a little money from him, from the doctor. And the doctor, who, you know, she thought, this old fucking clueless psychiatrist, you never gonna notice, but he did. And he ended up telling his daughter that, oh, I feel sorry for Maria because she's had some tough marriages and she's about to be foreclosed on, and I don't want to get her in trouble.
Oh, boy.
Maria! And where are you?
He was such a nice guy. He didn't want to fire her either. So she, I guess, was, you know, she plunged back into her work and everything seemed like it was okay. So then, well, that's a red herring. Keep looking and poking around. And they just can't seem to uncover anything. And all they know is that the doctor's, I think it was a Lincoln Continental. See, everything about him is old. Everything about him was, even the car was old. And it wasn't even a new model. It was like a 6-year-old model.
Those
like,
boxy ones.
This guy's a psychiatrist. Somebody stole the Lincoln Continental and the son's gun. It's like, wow, what the fuck is going on? But it looked like they could have stolen much more. There were coin collections. There were all kinds of things that they went through and they left behind. So the daughter, this is months, maybe almost a year later, the daughter's like, oh, God, I got to go through this fucking mess, this hoarder's.
This hoarder's
delight house.
What the hell happened that night?
Well, if you saw what a hoarderville this was, the daughter just didn't want to deal with it. She grew up in the home. She was too upset. Mm. And then finally, she makes this videotape where she's like, yeah, this is where I grew up. And I think the people that buy it are going to knock it down because it was such a piece of shit. Mm. People that bought it were going to knock it down. It's like, the guy's a psychiatrist. He's still working. He's ancient. This guy's made tons of money. Why doesn't he fix up this house? But anyway, so she's recording it to, you know, so the house is never quite gone, I guess, in her world. And, of course, it's still cluttered as shit. But anyway, she has to start getting all the shit out of the house. And so she's doing that, and she's finally going through her father's clothes.
Oh.
And, you know, he's got some nice suit coats and stuff.
They're all old?
With patches on the elbows?
I just figured they were all old.
Probably, yeah. Anyway,
leisure suits.
She notices that one of them, one of his suit coats, or sports coats, probably with patches, has something in the side, the pocket. Oh. And so she goes in, and it's an envelope, and it's, well, she starts reading it. And it's a letter from Maria, the assistant, about how sorry she was for taking the money and that she would make it good with him. And then it went through this litany of, my husband and I split up, and then I was going to lose my house, and, you know, all this big sob story. And he had decided he was over it. He was going to keep her. He didn't want to fire her. So anyway, they keep really looking at Maria, and they just can't quite make it work. So they're like, you know, we're nowhere on this thing. We're at ground zero. Then, fast forward about 10 years,
wow,
and they get this informant. And they were really counting on informants for this thing. They thought, somebody's going to brag about this. There's just no way. Nobody's going to say anything. But nope, not a word. 10 years later, this informant says, hey, this guy has got a big plan, 3 guys. They are going to They are going to rob this armored car when it leaves the bank. They've got it all timed out. They know exactly when the guy comes. When he gets out, they're going to shoot him, and they're going to grab the bags, and they're off.
That always works, too.
I know. It actually, occasionally, it does not. Very often. Usually get to the bottom of it. But anyway, so the informant spills the whole thing. So the armored car arrives, doors open, and just as the guy's getting out of the car to shoot the guy as he comes out of the armored car, they arrest him on the spot.
Ha!
And they bring him in, and of course they have to search him. And when they're searching him, he has a gun in his waist, in addition to the gun in his hand when they got him. And they run the gun, and it's the son's gun.
Oh,
yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
So this is again like 10 years later. So they're like, well, what does this guy have to do with the doctor? And so they're spending, you know, days, weeks.
Say he just bought it off the street?
No. Well,
or yeah, do they find a connection?
Nobody would quite cough it up. But then as they dug through and dug in, they found out that, oh, the nephew is part of this group, too. The nephew is part of it. And the nephew had apparently obtained the gun because the nephew was Maria's boyfriend.
Oh.
And he had insisted to her that you've got to get that note back. You shouldn't have written that note.
Maria!
That note will put you in prison. And she's like, oh, okay, well, what do you want to do? I know everything about him. I know everything about his house. I know everything. And so they were supposed to go and get the note. But how are you going to get the note when there's two fucking people sleeping there? Well, we'll just shoot them and we'll find the note. Wow. I mean, can you fucking believe how stupid that is?
And then they don't get the note after all.
No, they don't get the note. The sister reads a note. And then 10 years later in the armed robbery, the gun comes up and then they make the connection to the nephew and Maria.
Not very good at making plans, are they?
Well, the armed robbery is.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
The president is leaving Walter Reed.
Oh!
You want to watch it?
I guess so. I'm sure some scandal's going to erupt within 2 minutes of him walking out of this building.
I think the first scandal is, why is that video so terrible? They give a nice fist pump. Oh, tapping the railing. Letting go of the railing. Thinking twice about using a railing.
By the way, I think people are absolutely praying that those Secret Service guys in the joyride die.
Jesus.
I think people are rooting for them to die. To make the joyride even worse.
How many of your staff are set? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you
nice thumbs
you
up.
Be a super spreader, Mr. President?
What did he ask him? When did you know you had it?
Do you think you might be a super spreader, Mr. President?
Did you have it before the debate?
But in a,
do you think
a
you're a super spreader? Yes, I am.
Are you more than 7 inches?
gently tapping the railings as he came down, but walking virtually unassisted as he now goes into that armored SUV, much like the one that took him on the tour.
Wait, why isn't he flying back, man?
The armored SUV, by the way, is, what do they call it? It's completely
hermetically
sealed so that his coronavirus can easily make its way to Secret Service people. Except that today they were saying that there was a plastic shield between the front seat and the back seat, so the doctors weren't that worried about it.
Oh, okay.
But that did not make people happy.
It was totally fine. It's really cool that he did that.
It was great, yeah. I mean,
everyone loved it. It was so cool.
His fans liked it.
Okay. What is the percentage, do you think, of people who still maybe don't think that he has it?
You know, that's a great question. Yeah. I swear, I think a lot of people don't think he ever had it. But I don't know.
No,
what is the advantage to him having it? I don't understand why that. Why do people think that?
To walk out like that, hands free, no hands on the railing, and act like he's all cool. He takes off a little bit of his makeup, so he looks pale, and
He's experienced it firsthand, so he's better prepared to deal with it, and then it's not very... Yeah.
Nah, that ship already sailed. I don't think that's going to work.
That's right.
that's already being put out there.
Plus, ever since he got COVID, there's been 19 scandals about him having COVID, because he took it to the debate, he took it to a... took it to a fundraiser, and, you know, he's a super spreader, and he deserved it because he had that Supreme Court thing with all those people all crowded up with no masks. Even though they were outside. By the way, if I have to pick...
I mean, you saw his tweet, right?
Which tweet?
I'm feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We've developed, under the Trump administration, some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. That's the steroid.
You think he made it up to do that?
The chopper.
So he can say that it's nothing?
Oh, I don't think he made it up at all. I don't know. The point was, I don't know why people would think that it was a lie. I mean, other than that... That administration.
This is the chopper!
I mean, anymore. Well,
I think if you believe that, you believe that he could come out and say, "Hey, it was no big deal," just like I said. And these people are compromised. I mean, if you're a regular person with normal health, then you're fine. Don't worry about it. I just had it. It was no big deal.
Yeah.
And then people go, "Oh fuck, I'm voting for him because I was mad at him about COVID." But I don't think that's
Biden doesn't know how to deal with COVID. He hasn't had it.
Well, it feeds into the whole thing that that the people are being oppressed by
Yeah, no,
drama queens.
It's politically, it's a brilliant move.
Well, if all of the people at that event get better as quickly as he does, it could have some effect. I don't think it could change the election at all. I mean, I don't even think 1% will move the their vote.
Bill Barr was just like, nah, I'm not going to quarantine at all. I'm exposed, so fuck y'all.
I thought he was quarantined now, wasn't he?
Was he? Did he?
I thought so.
Oh, okay.
Kaylee McEnear has it now.
Yes, I think it's 12 people at that one event.
Oh, cool. He is going to take the chopper, by the way.
What about the Secret Service in the car that got him to the chopper?
I flew in on a helicopter.
What if they die? He could have killed them. That's what it's being
said. No, he's fine now.
He could have killed the Secret Service.
The doctors are releasing him. He's totally fine.
I feel what we've learned is that we all need that steroid.
Yeah.
Like that could have been me.
Well, the antibody cocktail, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
see,
that was fun.
Don't be afraid of COVID if you have every resource available to you. Right.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks they would be treated like the president. I don't understand why faking COVID would help him. I mean, there's an MSNBC.
I don't think many people think he faked it, other than that Joy Reid and Michael Moore.
I think there were Bette
Midler. There's the three people.
Quite a few on social media, but it's social media, I guess.
I don't know that a lot of people are saying that publicly, but I mean, people are emailing me going, just for the record, I think he's faking. In fact, my first faking text was from Joe.
Really?
Joe. I'm not going to say his last name because he might get social media hate. He might get doxxed.
Yeah, well, you just half doxxed him.
Joe.
Welcome to the world, yeah. Joe.
Now we know it's a Joe.
Joe's out there.
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with saying you think he faked it.
Sounds like you're changing your tone.
I haven't heard is anybody shit on the people that said
Joe Exotic?
It?
That's Joe Exotic.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't
everybody
think
shits
so.
On everybody.
Really?
Everybody shits on everybody. But I think what's wrong with people thinking that he faked it is that there is a gigantic credibility gap.
Yeah.
In both directions. Where, like you said earlier, you just want the truth, but who knows what's the truth?
They're not a terribly open administration.
He doesn't
seem
like somebody who would ever want to be in a hospital. I mean, he is a mule. I mean, for better or worse or otherwise, he is someone who is not going to be stopped doing whatever horrible things or great things that he wants to do or whatever money he wants to make or lose. He will not be stopped.
I love your definition of the mule yesterday, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
did
very
you
scientific.
Know all that stuff?
I did not.
I didn't either. I mean, I just knew that a mule was something that you just can't stop. It's just going to keep going no matter what.
Yeah.
In fact, who's the athlete they call the mule, isn't there?
Johan Franzen.
Oh, yeah, the mule. That's right. Duh. And he did get stopped. So.
Ready for this wacky version? So far it's normal, right? And it's just, what's his name now? Islam?
Yusuf Islam.
So it's him and then some black dude on piano.
Sounds the same.
Yeah, so far.
He sounds older, but he sounds like Cat Stevens. I mean,
who does he look like in this clip? He looks like somebody. Here, I'll switch it, Trudy, so you can see it over there. Oh, maybe not. Sorry. By the way, I think
Red Fox. Does he look like Red Fox a little bit?
I'll always remember
Trudy. Red Fox. Like
a child. A little bit.
Fuck cats.
Is this a medley? Well, what happened to the song?
It's making it wacky. Breaking my heart
in two. Is this a medley?
Oh,
I don't know the song.
It's like the same lyrics.
The Cat Thesis. If you gotta leave,
take good care. Oh, he
knock it off, Cat!
The song was great. What are you fucking around with it, Cat? Baby, I love you.
He ruined it.
I hate the song now. I don't like it
ruined
anymore.
Ruined his own song. Or those two guys playing with him did. It's hard to get
by. What if they just ad-libbed wildly and he just went with it?
What, like elder abuse? We're changing the song, Yusuf.
Maybe he figures he'll catch a whole new, like, pull in a whole new segment.
Yeah,
but the original is so good. Dun, dun. Just wacky version. What's that? There's no sax in it.
Like a jazz version.
Yeah.
What is this? I don't like Cat Stevens anymore. That sucks. He sucks now.
I told you
he used to be
terrible.
Good, but he sucks.
It's funny because when I was watching this, I'm like, oh, I guess show this to Drew. He'll really dig it. And then it started changing. I'm like, I'm not showing this to Drew. He's going to hate it. But since he came up today.
excuse me. The Stairway to Heaven thing has finally been solved.
Oh, really? With Randy California?
All. Yes, with the Randy California, who's no longer alive. And
he drowned?
Zeppelin in spirit, right?
Loop.
So all this time they have been fighting tooth and nail over this ridiculous song that no one knows by Spirit.
Although there's a resemblance, and they did tour with Spirit.
Yeah, but nobody knows who Spirit is anymore. I think that
they should.
I think
Spirit,
that should win.
I got a line on you, babe.
Not to mention Zeppelin's
Nature's Wave. Telling
Pager's a little known for ripping off songs.
Yeah, Pager's got a lot of history with that.
I did love though that they got back together to go to court, and you know.
So how did it settle? The Supreme Court just said we're not dealing with this. So what was the previous ruling? Do we know?
See, it came to an end Monday when the United States Supreme Court announced that it had declined to hear the case.
It's a lot, Kavanaugh.
They just ghosted it.
Yeah, but what was the last ruling? Do we even know?
It means
that Zeppelin won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the ruling for Zeppelin in the Ninth Circuit will stand, and that means that those Spirit dudes have to get the F out. Leave it alone. Go away.
Yeah.
Was there anything else in Rolling Stone today or Spin? Did you happen to look? I did not check my.
Nothing else that where the whole AC/DC thing is going to have the song's going to drop on Wednesday, so that's happening.
It was all wrapped up in the Sean Lennon interviews,
right?
And I didn't even look. I wanted to go back just for a second to the Trump COVID story. I am really, really hoping that in the contact tracing, that's the Notre Dame president who's a super spreader. I don't know why. I have no idea. It's like I'm praying for it.
Because he was very cavalier about opening class back up.
Well, yeah. And not only that, it's a junket. He's on a fucking junket. Yeah. Why is he on a junket? Why is he at that event? Why is the president of Notre Dame there?
Because she taught it.
So what? He didn't do it. He didn't do anything.
Well, I mean.
Did he teach her?
I don't know.
Did she learn all the law she knows from him? No.
Apparently.
He's the fucking president. That has nothing to do with her.
Okay, how about this? Why was Chris Christie there?
Mike Lee.
Because he helped with the debate.
Well, Mike Lee, I think, isn't he on the judicial...
Christie should be fired for helping the debate.
What does Chris Christie do now?
He just hangs around Trump and looks for buffets. They ask him for something.
He goes to an event where there's hopefully buffets.
It's free food.
I heard a story today.
But if Chris Christie recovers quickly, I think that's a point for Trump.
I don't know. God, I can't remember what I was listening to, but they were talking about where Trump was and everything, and the event at Bedminster, his golf outing, had a buffet.
Oh yeah!
Oh, thrown in there like this is even worse.
By the way, the chopper is still flying. I didn't think he was that far away.
I have no idea where is Walt Reed at.
I thought it was in. Was it? Isn't it Virginia?
I thought it was in. Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, it's in Virginia. It's still not that far. I mean, I think that chopper.
Maybe he's taking
flying.
Maybe he's taking a COVID victory
could be a
lap.
Wave. He could be taking a wave.
In Maryland.
I feel like the Notre Dame president, that was a junket. He went on a junket.
Yeah.
And you don't go on junkets with COVID around. You don't go on junkets.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people are mad.
I'm the president of the school that she got her education at, so I should certainly be there.
People are mad.
The fucking junket.
Not seeing their families, and this old priest can go to the White House to party.
Yeah, how nice.
How many other chances is he going to get? Come on.
By the way, if you have to invite anyone to a junket, always invite Trudy. You get service after the junket, years after the junket.
She did for her event this past weekend.
That's right. That's right. I am interested in what they have at the, what's the gallery again?
The Robert Kidd Gallery. Oh,
I was looking
God,
at their pictures.
You gotta go.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Very cool stuff. Except somebody pointed at the picture of Jane Fonda, her booking photo.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
have a, and it's.
Wait,
it's,
what did she get booked for a protest?
Yeah, I think so. It was remember
she protesting Nam
when she had like the shag haircut that every woman in the world had
yes,
after that.
They did.
And the woman points to it and she goes, "Oh, that's Pat Benatar." And I'm like, "No,
Pat Benatar.
It's Jane Fonda."
Look at that! More service after the sale for Trudy.
Yeah, I thought it was
about the Robert Kidd. Is that what it was?
Robert Kidd Gallery, but it was all about
Bobby the Kidd.
Bobby Kidd.
This is all about abductions and sexual.
Yikes.
The Mariah Carey story gets even worse as she is asked at a junket of her own, why isn't James Packer's relationship mentioned in the book? And she answers, well, if it was a relationship that mattered, it's in the book. If not, it didn't occur. She was engaged to the guy. She got a $10 million engagement ring from him, which she kept. Pressed further, she said, yeah, we didn't have a physical relationship, to be honest. So there's another guy. By the way, he's so unattractive, I never dreamed for one second she was attracted to him. I could, what is she doing with him?
His wallet.
Wallet.
I know, but Mariah Carey, what does she need to be roll around with a wallet for? But she wasn't rolling around, so it makes sense, I guess.
She's acting like she's so chaste about all these guys. She didn't nail Jeter until they were broken up. I just don't know if I believe it.
She strapped herself into these outfits and is pure sex, and then she never has any with the people that she...
Oh, didn't she say at one point that she'd had two sex partners?
What? No.
Was that after Nick Cannon, maybe?
Sounds like
somewhere in there?
Something dumb she would say.
But Jeter, she said she slept with Jeter while she was with Tommy Mottola.
She said Jeter was her number two.
Yeah.
No, she claims they were broken up, both Jeter and whoever he was dating.
And why was she so nervous about it?
I feel like she had to give it up to Mottola.
Well, she started twice. She hung out with him while she was still together, but they never consummated it, which that's why I don't believe it.
With who?
Consummated something with Jeter?
So she
says she didn't put up for Jeter?
Not until they were both broken up. So she wrote those two songs, you know, those two incidents, but
you write a song about somebody you didn't put out for. That does not happen. That's a rule of songwriting. DaBaby was shooting a video today, and there were gunshots at the video shoot.
Is that fake,
by the way? Is that just made up to make it sound cooler?
I don't know. Isn't he out on probation from that time he beat up that guy?
I don't know.
DaBaby's in the news now is for something legal.
True.
I get street cred.
That's right.
You had plenty of street cred, though, man.
Speaking of street cred, I don't think we ever mentioned that Drew's favorite rapper, Tekashi 6ix9ine, overdosed on coffee.
Hey!
And diet pills.
Hey!
And diet pills.
Sounds like somebody who is on probation and can't do drugs would say.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That
he has to get drug tested.
Complete bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, what absolute crap that is. And I why, if he went to the hospital because his heart was going so fast, wouldn't he be drug tested because he's on probation?
Because he was facing
47 years and he ratted out enough people to get 2 years and they let him out early because his asthma's so bad, even though he doesn't wear a mask when he's on a video shoot with like 500 people. So his asthma must have gotten miraculously cleared between prison and the video shoot.
Wow.
So how about that? Oh, man. These people. That was very annoying. The Tekashi. I just fucking hate that guy. And that interview guy, he's such an asshole.
Yep.
I just hate. I mean, it just seems like if you are bragging about what an asshole you are, it just seems like it would hurt you at some point. But it just seems like it makes him bigger and bigger. I guess, you know, in the United States of assholes in 2020, I guess being the biggest asshole would be an asset.
Yeah.
God, well.
That's...
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
It does make sense.
So today I was, among other things, when they weren't talking about Trump and him being euphoric over his steroid and among other things and killing Secret Service agents, hopefully, the Amy Coney Barrett story, you know, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger because now with all these people with COVID, it's not safe for the Senate to meet in session.
Yeah.
And you can't have virtual hearings for something this important.
Yeah, didn't McConnell say 2 week recess because of it?
Yeah. Well, but he says they're on schedule that, there's no reason this can't get done.
He's right.
If we can't have full hearings in person for Amy Coney Barrett, we can't possibly do something as important as confirm a Supreme Court justice. That's what was being said by Schumer and a few other senators. Every single senator, by the way, knows exactly how they're going to vote. No one is going to change their mind at the hearings. I mean, isn't that a fact?
No, and the questions aren't really questions, they're more statements.
Why would you have to be there in person for essentially what is really a bullshit
So they
Sessions, she's been vetted, and they're not going to change their vote. They're all the Democrats are going to vote against her,
so they can
and
all...
every Republican except for two women are going to vote for her.
Oh, I bet
it's political bullshit.
I bet you those two women, yeah, vote for her too.
Because they're afraid that their Zoom call will get hacked and someone will like impersonate Susan Collins.
Because they want that important camera. They want that camera time, man. They want their question on camera.
Well, and they would like to put it off until after the election. And if the Democrats had a candidate that they were trying to force through, the Republicans would be saying, oh my God, there's no way we can do this because we can't have meetings because too many people have COVID and we can't do this virtually, even though we all know exactly how we're going to vote.
Right.
I mean, everything is like this, and it's just so fucking tiresome to me. I mean, I'm not saying how it should or should not be handled. They probably, I mean, I feel like it, legally speaking, they can do it and they will do it, and there's nothing much anyone can do about it except for pack the court down the road. So, I mean, it's just one of those fluky things where something, you know, this happens over the course of one four-year term, and it's, you know, I don't know, it seems like there should be a better way to do the Supreme Court than all this saying, oh my God, this person is so horrible, I can't possibly be confirmed, because there's too many of one side on there. So saying everyone is a big shitbag because you don't want them to be a Supreme Court justice because they'll tilt the court, isn't there a better way?
Well, I wonder if it would be
so we get people that we like that are fair. Why don't we have judges who actually will judge on the basis of what they think is right instead of blue judges and red judges? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if we didn't assume judges? Because if we know exactly how to vote, why do we have to have judges? Because a blue judge will vote blue and a red judge will vote red. So what's the need for judges anyway?
Okay. No judges.
I mean, you could have one judge, which would be the color of the president at the time or the Senate at the time. And they would always vote the way that president would vote.
Okay.
Instead of having seven, because the seven will always be 4-3 in favor of, you know, whoever's in power. You know, depending on who's on. I mean, doesn't it seem so stupid now how partisan it is?
It
judges
does.
And you know, it really hit me yesterday when Whitmer said, Republican Supreme Court. Okay, so it didn't matter what the issue was. They were going to vote against her because there's four red judges and three blue judges. Right?
Right.
Is that
the way everything works now? Because then there's no need to even have a vote because we know how to vote before the vote even comes. Well, so why don't they just announce it when it gets to the Supreme Court that it's 4-3 the other way?
I don't know why we need Supreme Court.
Why do we waste time? If all the judges vote red or blue and not about the subject matter and how it should be interpreted.
And why do we waste time on having, you know, Congress and Senate and all those people?
Because
we know exactly what they're going to do.
We could save a lot of money.
So
just elect them and then we'll just assume their votes because we know how they'll vote.
And we
unless this affects their reelection, then they'll vote the other way.
Well, we wouldn't have to pay as much in taxes if we didn't have to pay their salaries and their health care and all that, right? So
yes.
we could all get a break.
Which, this is another insidious topic today. They were talking about doing the rapid testing for senators so we can hurry up and get back and, you know, do the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. And Nancy Pelosi is against it because it treats the elected body as being more important than the people.
What?
Well, yeah, because they would be getting something that the people don't get.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, well, look at your fucking health care.
Well, thank you, their health care. Their gym, which was open the whole time?
Yeah. Man, you got a red ass about gyms.
Yeah, I know. They're never treated differently, not in the limos that they take to work, not in their pensions, not in their health care. I mean, what a pile of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, college players and NBA players and NFL players can have rapid tests, but the U.S. Senate cannot.
I'm going to vote for Adam Silver to be in charge of the CDC or
president
or something. I mean, look at how well they managed the bubble there.
Well, that was one of the funniest things.
They had Lou Williams
just expanding the bubble until the whole country's around it.
True, yeah. Well, they had Lou Williams go get wings, you know, at the strip club, and everyone flipped up, and they managed it, man. It's crazy. But then again, a lot less people.
How did the Lakers lose Sunday night? I guess Jimmy Butler had a crazy game.
Butler went off. 40 points. He had a triple-double. I think he's...
LeBron walked off the floor?
I know. He's
like
pissed.
A big baby?
A great game. Boo-hoo. I still hope the Heat can beat him.
When his
Jeez,
game...
why don't you go cry about it?
Look at these. I had CBS on because I wanted to see how quick do they cut away from the president to cover...
Pretty
the,
quick.
...the New England...
yeah, there's two Monday night games on.
New England-Kansas City game. But what I'm laughing at is you got Romo and Jim Nance.
Okay. Can you bring up the audio? I want to hear Jim Nance. I want to hear him push his voice.
But they're in the booth with a shot of him. They have a plastic partition between them, as if. The partition's like.
Wait, barely, they're not wearing masks!
Barely.
No masks!
Sure, they got the partition. They're outside. What are you talking about?
They still should be wearing masks.
What I'm laughing at is that partition.
That's not safe! That partition. They're going to kill each other!
It's entirely for sure.
Jim Nance could kill him!
That'd be great. Wouldn't it be great?
Nance would kill him?
I'm rooting for it.
I wish Romo would kill Nance.
Romo's younger.
I'm rooting for Rance to kill Romo because then that'll be the end of Jim Nance, and I don't like his play-by-play. I'm annoyed by him. He can go to his wine galleries.
I mean, The Calling?
Romo, Tracy Wilson, and Gene Steratore, great to have you with us for this Monday night special.
Nance is stroking out.
We woke up, Tony, on Saturday morning, and we heard the news about Cam's positive test, and suddenly we had no idea what was going to happen. Was it going to be Sunday? Will they scratch that? Will it be Monday, Tuesday, week 17? Here we are. The game's going to be played.
I'll be giving my time to the player of the game at the end of the night.
More of this as the season goes on.
You're exactly right. I think the NFL told us. You got to be willing to adjust, right? The teams have to be the owners, the players, the coaches, and you're seeing that play out right now. I'll tell you, this team, both of them, they're ready to go. They're antsy. It's an extra day, but the fact they're playing, they're excited.
He and just said nothing.
We didn't even know what we were going to do this week. Like, honestly, Jim, it was like, do we go home? Do we stay? We're here. I know everyone wants to see this game.
Yeah, this is a big game when you look down the road at the playoff picture in the AFC.
You mean 14 weeks from now?
That's right. Brian Hoyer is
the quarterback. Oh, God. Oh, Brian Hoyer's starting?
Yeah, Newton's got COVID, man.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Sick.
I forgot about Brian. Hoyer.
You would think New England would have been like, oh, please just move this game to another week. We don't want Hoyer to start.
Yeah, I would think so.
What if Tennessee? I mean, you don't know who got sick from Tennessee, but what if it was Tannehill, right? Their starting quarterback. They'd be glad that they haven't moved.
Sure they would.
One less game without your starting quarterback.
Did you hear about the Atlanta strippers? I guess it was on John Oliver last night.
Oh.
Get your booty to the pole.
Oh, that's a great commercial. Yeah.
So this is a real ad?
Yeah. Well,
directed at black men.
Well, it's directed at people from the titty bar, yeah.
Well, the suggestion that I read was that this was an ad done because black men are ignored by the government. And so they were trying to reach black men, but if that's for real, because I thought that this has got to be a joke.
No, the ad's for real.
So they feel the only way to reach black men is through strippers? I mean, isn't that insulting?
I think it's one way.
But isn't it insulting to black men to say that, well, we've got to reach black men, so we're going to be strippers do a thing?
I don't know.
They reached me. I thought it was amusing.
I'm not a black man.
Funny, and that would maybe make me want to vote.
And by the way, why can't white people like Atlanta strippers in their message?
I can.
You can. Yeah. No one's not saying that.
Well, it's not directed at me, so I can't get the message.
It says who?
I just was reading about it. I didn't make it up.
Where are you reading this?
Brandon sent the prep.
All right. Where's
your, okay, I'll find it.
What's your source, Brandon? Hold on. Jesus, that's a big ass.
Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole.
That's a little repetitive.
Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole. Yeah. Did we get your attention? Good. So, you're really not going to vote?
You know it's more than just the president on the ballot, right? Check it.
A district attorney decides who to prosecute.
Including whether or not to go after dirty cops.
Do you know who elects the DA?
No.
We do.
What?
But you don't want to vote. Can't make it rain if you locked up on some bullshit.
Want trades and coding taught in our schools? Then vote for the school boards that will prepare us for the job market.
Want to end cash bail? Well, then vote for the sheriffs and county officials that feel the same way you do.
But you talking about, oh, they going to pick who they going to pick, shawty.
Ferguson just elected their first black mayor.
You know how that happened?
How?
It's clear black lives don't matter to some of our current elected officials.
If they matter to you, then don't let other people decide who's going to run your community.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your vote.
For information on how and where to vote, as well as resources to find out who's running where you live, go to getyourbootytothepole.com.
At least they didn't act as frivolous as Chris Pratt did.
The director and the producer said the ad is designed to increase the voter turnout amongst the black male demographic.
She may be hiding what's called junk in the trunk.
The director responded to criticism of the ad on Twitter, saying, "I was not paid for this and used my own money and money raised from a GoFundMe to pay for it. Black people, especially black men, are ignored by our government, and I want them to know they need to start paying attention." So it was directed at black men. I didn't make that up.
But it was a good message.
Yeah, but who said, yeah.
Who said what?
But I thought you said somebody was acting like it was...
No, I said, I think it doesn't that, isn't that sort of insensitive to say that black men can be reached by strippers, or that's the best way to reach black men?
I can be reached by strippers.
Yeah.
I think it's a very inclusive message.
I think everybody's thinking way too deep about it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, she was criticized for it. I mean, what does anyone do today that is not... They're not criticized for. No, Twitter. I don't think it was just Twitter.
I thought you just said Twitter.
Did I?
I thought that's what you said the story said.
Director Angela Barnes, producer Paul Fox, in the group's website, the ad is designed to increase voter turnout among the black to male demographic. Responded to criticism of the ad on Twitter, writing, "I was not paid for this."
Oh, he responded on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't even know who's criticizing it. Yeah. Wow. Other than Drew.
I just would have thought that the natural criticism would be that, strippers to reach black men, isn't that suggest that, I don't know, that's the only way to reach black men? Black men don't know to vote?
No, it's one way.
It's one way.
To reach black men and other people.
You don't think that would be offensive to anyone to suggest that black men are reached by strippers
if they're that easily offended, but I would imagine one.
No, I personally am not really that offended by it, but it seems that there's a lot of things that make people offended, and I would think that would be an easy one to be offended by.
Well, then they're wrong for being offended by it.
Sorry if I offended you.
I'm sure there's a lot. If you're looking at one demographic, it's probably the guys that go to the titty bar that might not be registered to vote. Black or white or otherwise.
Why would guys going to the titty bar not be registered to vote? Everybody goes to the titty bar, don't they?
Well, I guess everybody will be registered then.
I mean, that's
We can't say anything because it might offend one person or two people.
This is a deep conversation.
I just never thought of the titty bar. I just never thought of strippers as a black men thing only. I mean, I guess I don't understand.
But every dancer in there is black and from Atlanta. So, but if you want to pretend like that's not aimed towards black guys, then fine.
Okay, I thought it was if funny. Nothing else, it was kind of interesting and a little
strange.
She
used the word black guy.
I mean, anybody who gets the word out to vote to any demographic is good. I don't care how they do it.
I mean, what if a bunch of people...
I thought some people would find... Well, no, some people did find it offensive, so... And I'm not surprised. I'm not offended. I really could give a shit. I don't know how anybody would not know that you're supposed to vote by now. I really don't. I mean, it seems like it's the only thing I ever hear about now.
I found the person who I found her response on Twitter, the Angela Barnes, and it was in a response to someone that wrote, "They that paid the director don't try to jump cute." That's from BoomTube Jesse. So I guess the criticism comes from BoomTube Jesse.
What's that
and
mean?
The director responded on her Twitter to that
directly,
one person.
Yes. I'm not joking. To the thread. I'm looking at it right now.
Wait, what did she mean?
I don't know.
I'm not sure that's a criticism.
You know, it's a criticism.
Well, the original criticism is up. I guess somebody, Tariq Nasheed, wrote, "Instead of talking about our tangibles, this is what white Democrats think will appeal to us." So there's your guy that you wanted to attack him. And then that's why she replied, "I'm a black woman. I was using my own money," to that guy.
I'm going to get racial here. I'm going to get racial.
I wouldn't use my own money for that, I'm going to tell you. But... I guess some people
are
feeling generous.
You're better than the ads I'm seeing on TV.
Yeah, what would your voting message be, Drew?
I really don't think there's any shortage of people telling you to vote right now. I mean, the idea that we need a new message to tell people, everyone's talking about voting. I mean, where do you go that you don't hear about voting?
Apparently the titty bar.
Okay. There's a Michigan student who is suing a University of Michigan frat.
Oh, yes.
Saying she was drugged and raped there. And, you know, I read this whole story and I found myself saying, first of all, why this year, right now, why are there fraternities right now? I mean, they do nothing but party. They do nothing but try to get women drunk. I mean, that's gone on forever. Well,
you think that it's
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Isn't that what it's really about? Context.
Well, that's
afterwards?
What they say. I don't think I ever went to a fraternity.
No.
I'll probably get people, obnoxious fraternity people who won't like what I say, but...
Broad brush fraternities, Drew.
Fraternities did not seem to have the best interests of the female populace on campus in mind very often.
No, it's not.
From what I could tell. In fact, it was pretty bad, and baseball players weren't much better. I mean, I saw some pretty frightening things in the jock dorm back in my days, and I don't think it's much better now. But, you know,
I don't get in the story fraternities at all.
I get the sense that, you know, people are suggesting that, oh, my God, after all the conversation we've had, we can't believe this could still be taking place. And I'm thinking, they're just new people every year. They don't get the same messages that they got 10 years ago and 20 years ago. They're still just new 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And they get guys. They all think they're cool because, hey, you made it through the pledge class. Oh, yeah, you're cool just like me. We fuck all the girls and it's great. And this particular week was described as Fuck Freshman Week. And the suit claims that during Freshman Fuck Week, and this guy was a senior who raped this freshman allegedly, that they kept a scorecard of how many freshmen each fraternity brother had sex with. Didn't check IDs. The girl was 18. She got in. She was she got very intoxicated, and then she was coaxed upstairs by a senior from Beverly Hills, California. She wanted to leave. He would not let her out of the room, and he had given her a cup of water, which she took a sip of, and she said at that point she knew she was drugged. The water tasted very strange, and she doesn't remember much from there. So that's why I wasn't sure, because she filed reports with the – she went got a rape kit the next day. She filed reports with the Ann Arbor police and with the University of Michigan police, and I got the impression she got nowhere. Because why would she be suing if she had gotten a conviction? Did they ever – I mean, I don't know if they ever got the case off the ground or what happened. But I tell you
– Yeah, I mean, was somebody ever criminally charged?
I didn't – it said that she got the rape kit. She went to both police departments, and it didn't say anything else about it. So my assumption, because she was suing civilly, is that she got no recourse.
Yeah.
And – you know, well, maybe what happened between those two people? Who knows? Maybe they don't, or maybe she was too wasted. They said, well, you drank the water and you said you didn't know what was going on.
Maybe
so
they didn't have enough evidence.
Maybe you consented. But her attorney, and I agree with most of the things her attorney said, that she was too drunk to consent anyway. And once she was on, once she drank this water, she was completely incapacitated. And he did have sex with her. They know that because she got a rape kit done shortly after. And I don't know. It's just one of those
fresh
stories you just fucking hate, man. Because I feel like when you get the wrong group of guys this age together in a and I know fraternities, they do so much for the community and so the sororities, and it's so cool. I always hated fraternities. I never liked them. I went there and drank the quarter beer.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with it, but I just didn't like that.
Yeah, I'm one of the brothers. I'm the treasurer, and he's the president of the fraternity. He's really cool. And if you weren't in a frat, God forbid if you weren't in a frat, they were total dicks to you. It's really hard to make it into this fraternity because we're especially cool here. Yeah. All these guys have held my dick and walked together.
but it was always pitched to me as that you'll have people who will help you later in life.
Yeah, later in life, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'll have to ask my brother.
I prefer Skull and Bones.
I mean, can't you make real friends instead of having to buy friends? I mean, what about real
friends?
Real friends will help you through life. I mean, this idea that
we're the anointed ones among this group who made it through the pledge class, and we're accepted as brothers because we're especially cool.
And this whole idea of a pledge week and, you know.
Too much ritual, yeah. That's
I mean,
weird.
Now the Belushi fraternity in Animal House,
that
was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they took the biggest nerd in the group because they thought he was funny.
So was Lambda, Lambda, Lambda in Revenge of the Nerds.
And Old School.
Exactly.
Don't forget Old School.
Yeah, that was a great
frat.
Yeah,
I'm turning my tune.
Kind of you know, that's on TV this week, I think.
Old School?
Yeah. I mean, not that it's hard to see Old School. I just saw a big ad for it. And
what a concept.
The one thing I noticed, I wasn't paying attention, and then I just heard Will Ferrell saying, hey, honey, what are you doing? As he's jogging next to the car.
Streaking.
Right.
Yeah, boy.
Blue. You're my boy.
Oh, yeah, Blue.
My boy, Blue.
We're going streaking!
All right, well, let's get out of here. There's a lot of
Blue, you're my boy.
A lot of football and baseball games on tonight.
So it's a bye week for the Lions, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up week.
Yes. So we can just hate Matt Patricia. We can just focus on hating Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn fully for 2 weeks.
It's a bi curious week, Trudy.
Oh my.
Let's see. Did I get all this done today? I didn't. Water is everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge or under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Oh, my God, I almost forgot those people. We'll have to give them a bonus somewhere. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. Put it on the fridge. And, Brandon, can we get the Mike Clark on Corey Lytle at the end of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Coming right up.
It's about 11-minute conversation, about or 12 minutes, about the infamous plane crash into a 50-story building in New York.
Jeez, my God.
And Plane Man on his game.
Yeah.
On his game. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Like us on Facebook. Please. Can't we just get to 26,000 and I'll just never say anything again? So we're stuck there for a long time.
You want to get to 30?
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
I'd love to get to 30. And can you also rate us on iTunes and rate us on Facebook and do all those things?
I am nothing without my following.
We are nothing. Rate us on Stitcher. Rate us on all the platforms. If you can rate us, please rate us nicely.
True.
Don't you love social media?
Yesterday, plane rain in New York City, parts of the small plane just plummeting from the sky.
I just saw a ball of flame, and out of that ball of flame falling down was I'm just so scared, you know? Sorry.
As a Yankee pitcher plowed his plane right into the side of a building in Manhattan yesterday, freaked a lot of New Yorkers.
Everybody started running. When I looked up, I seen a small plane crash into the building. And he looked like he was, like, having a malfunction. It's like he was trying to swerve away from the building, like land in the water, but he was already too close to it. And then he turned down and just hit the building. Everybody started running up the block.
Yeah, of course, they thought it was a terrorism attack, of course. And then they're not released. Relieved, that is, when they realized one of their team was piloting a single-engine plane, a Cirrus SR-20. Military scrambled of fighters. NORAD brought fighters up over other cities just in case, and firefighters in New York City, the FDNY, hiked 50 floors to douse that blaze from that crash. 11 firefighters overcome in the blaze had to be hospitalized. The engine deposited inside the apartment, the rest of the plane littered along with Corey Lytle's body and his passport on the street below. Plane had issued a last-second distress call, we hear. George Steinbrenner of the Yankees calling it a terrible and shocking tragedy. Lytle had told teammates that he, as he was cleaning out his locker, he planned on flying his plane back home to California.
Well, how strange, too. Thurman Munson, 1979, the Yankee catcher, died in a plane crash.
Yeah. Were there total of five Yankees in the end that were killed, or no, just the two?
Just Thurman Munson,
you know,
and Corey
Lytle.
It's
funny listening to MSNBC and CNN and everybody and their brother yesterday how the information changes constantly. How many hours he had, if he was licensed or not, if there was one person on board, two people on board, four people killed, two people killed. It's just amazing.
Was there something wrong with
days,
this? Do you know if there was something wrong with this plane in the end?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me because I've been waiting forever for an opportunity to lampoon this plane, and this is it. This Cirrus.
Did they make a call before?
Well, that's
there was a quick distress call just before.
Yeah. It's funny because. And that's for sure, right? Because then I heard somebody else say on MSNBC as it went on that, no, there was no Mayday call. But there was, right?
Well, NBC reported last night that there was a distress call just before.
And I wonder
when it was at the point of not being able to pull back and stop.
Well, all they keep talking about is this parachute and how safe this plane is. And
this plane actually has a parachute?
It has a parachute, which makes it unique.
So why didn't they parachute
They could have pulled that parachute, and that's a big question. Why didn't they?
And how do you fly into that building? I mean,
that
it's front of you.
Right in front of you, and I don't know what he was doing that low anyway.
Because that loop-de-loop they were making to go down that river, they come up the Hudson, turn around and go down...
That corridor that they
fly.
Or something. Yeah, they got that certain corridor because there's so much air traffic, you know.
Right.
And so you have to stay at certain altitudes and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, you have to be talking to air traffic controllers all the way through that process because of the airspace.
Isn't it seem strange, though, that you would leave Teterboro and go that way to go
where
they were
going? Well, a lot
of
people like to fly just for the scenery
down there.
So he was probably doing that, although he was with his flight instructor. See, what I don't get is the other thing is, too, over buildings. I mean, you have to, of course, they have these corridors with certain altitudes, but generally over busy areas, you have to stay 1,000 feet off the ground right there. Now, if he had these mechanical problems that forced him that low, but I'll tell you about this airplane with this parachute right quick, and that is this plane, a lot of people love it because it was marketed to brand-new pilots because it's kind of like it's got all of these high-tech safety features on it. So a lot of people, they market it generally to the females in the family.
Is this the only plane with a parachute that you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they hope to spread it down the road to other
people. We used to joke about that.
Yeah, we used to joke about it all the time. And this plane, people have had to use this parachute I don't know how many times.
Oh, so it has, the parachute has actually
has
worked
been used
to save
before.
People?
I've seen this plane in ponds. I've seen it all over the place with a parachute deployed. And
I don't know how you parachute through that skyline, though. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and it's awfully low because there's a rocket, basically sort of a rocket engine in the back of the thing that blows that parachute out.
Oh, wow.
You know, but it's always been a question as to what speeds that, you know, in altitude, you'll still get the parachute out and successfully come down. So it's a little iffy as to whether that low, if he had deployed the parachute, would it have come out in time and saved them? But the reason why, it's funny because the sales staff for that airplane has marketed the thing as like the safest plane in the world, right, because it's got a parachute. But the only reason why it has a parachute is because when they developed that plane, and it's really a brand new plane for all intents and purposes, really coming along in about 2000, 2001, really, they sell like 700 to 800 of them a month, which is unbelievable for small planes, and they're really expensive and fast. And the thing of it is that the plane has all these design flaws in it that make it inherently unstable, particularly in turbulence.
Is that why it has a parachute?
Yes. And what happens is all planes you can recover in spins. There's a technique if a plane gets in a spin, for example, there's a way out of that, right? And everybody knows the steps. For the Cirrus, because of the design problems with it, you can't recover it from a spin. So if you look in the manual for the plane under spin, it says deploy parachute.
Good God.
The FAA wouldn't certify this plane and put it on the market to be sold because of these design problems and because it couldn't recover from a spin. So they put a parachute on it as a last-ditch effort, and that's what allowed them to sell it. So instead of telling you that, they tell you, oh, look at this great safety feature. You know what I'm saying?
Is anybody a little surprised?
But it's really a very unstable plane, and a lot of people have died in it, including this big Cirrus Pilots Association that has all these Cirrus fanatics. And that guy, 4 months ago, took off from Florida and lost control shortly after takeoff. And him and his wife perished in the ocean for no reason. Same thing. All of a sudden, it went out of control and went in.
Does it surprise anybody, though, that planes can actually fly through that corridor after what happened on 9/11? Because I would have never thought they would allow any plane through that area just because...
Because you
the
got
Trade
the
Towers
UN,
were hit.
Yeah, everything is close by there. I mean, there's so many things that are jammed
in
that
seems
area.
Seems like there's a lot of targets.
Yeah, there's a lot of targets. But you notice,
but only,
too,
only small planes can fly through there, isn't that
through that area,
correct?
Yeah. But you notice,
do they have to stay under 1,100 feet or over 1,100 feet?
Under.
I heard
they
under.
Stay
okay.
low.
But that's...
Because of all the jets coming in.
They have to stay low.
Into,
I mean, that seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
because how high are those...
fly into a building.
Yeah, how high are those buildings?
Well, that one was 50 stories.
Yeah, 50 stories.
How high is 50 stories?
Or 50?
What's
well, they generally say 10 foot a story. Is that what they usually say?
Is that
a formula?
Is that it?
I've
okay,
always
so
heard
that's,
that.
That's only 500 feet. So yeah. So 100 stories would be 1,000 feet. You'd
yeah.
still be 100 feet, but only 100 feet.
I mean, yeah.
So
I don't know.
But you're talking
I mean,
under that.
Amazingly
you're talking you have to
low.
Be under that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems so low.
Yeah. And what's really strange, too, is that he was operating under this thing called VFR rules, you know, so that means that the clouds have to be a certain height. Now, they said it was 1,500 overcast.
Roger.
To be legal, it's 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontally to any cloud.
Roger.
Soldiers on.
If you think about that, though,
he's
you have to stay 1,000 feet above busy areas, and yet be...
We've gone anywhere from radio
for one to radio for nine.
Yeah, but it is interesting because they did bring up the weather a lot, you know. And it was a little close with that. It was a low overcast, which could come into play as we go. But it is amazing. Under no circumstance should he have been flying around through the building. So there had to be a mechanical problem, I would say. And especially if we have this Mayday call, this emergency call into something, then obviously something must have happened.
NTSB says there's no indication there was a call. So they're still saying two different things. As they still
all right, so it is still up in the air.
Push through the investigation.
That's how it was last night.
This happened. But did you for any second think that, well, I mean, the worst possibility?
Oh! If had I just seen that this happened at the very beginning,
not a terrorist, that he committed suicide.
Oh, that's what I thought happened.
That's what I thought.
That was in fact, I left you a message.
It's funny,
suggesting
I never, I never thought that. I don't know why.
Yeah,
because I just figured this guy's a New York Yankee
pitcher. Yeah. The New York Yankees just lost to the Tigers. Flew into a building.
There's a lot of guys who've lost baseball games in the postseason.
What I
can think of only one suicide: Donnie Moore from the California Angels.
Well, the first thing.
You have a statistic, though.
Well, and he didn't even commit suicide right after the game. I think it was years later. He never recovered from this awful loss to the Red Sox.
Well, the reason why I thought there was a suicide in the beginning, because at that point in time,
they were
saying
there
was only one person on board, and it flew into a building that was that low with an airplane like that. And at that time, there was no talk of Mayday calls. So it looked as if one person in a plane flew into a building.
It looked like he could have at least steered around that building.
Right. And I thought, as far as suicide, that maybe this guy had some type of manic depression, something, you know, in his background.
Bummed out.
I don't think so. He was a twin, for one thing.
Yeah. And Larry King had his...
Well, the twin would know whether he was or not.
And he had talked about how excited he was to fly home after their loss.
Right. And Larry King had his brother on forever
last
night.
His twin?
Yeah, his twin brother on. Yeah.
Oh, God. He had him on already?
Yeah, and the guy wasn't affected at all, Drew. The guy didn't feel...
How weird.
It was really strange.
The guy was devastated.
You'd think the guy's voice didn't waver at all. I mean, and he was just like, oh, he's a great guy, and, you know, this, that, and the other, and, you know. But it'll be interesting to see about this airplane, because this finally may... You know, take the covers off this plane and how unstable it really is, because this is pretty strange. Unless they had a legitimate mechanical problem, which leads you to say, then why, if they called in a Mayday and they were a little higher in their altitude at that point, why they wouldn't have just deployed the parachute as opposed to ending up below the buildings?
I just don't know about parachuting in that area. I mean, with all those buildings.
Yeah. Or he could have
put it in the river.
Better
than flying into that building.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he could have deployed the parachute, gone into the river, or any number of things. But to end up cruising around with the buildings
right into the center of the building.
That
wasn't even on the side.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, why he's mixed up with the buildings. That is really mind-blowing. So time will tell. See what we find out about this.
We're talking about what the people found on the street, too, besides Corey Lytle. His body.
Passport. His
flight instructor's body that...
on the street?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were laying on the street.
Wow.
One of the victims was strapped in the seat of the mangled cockpit, which lay in front of the building. The body of the other victim was torn in half, lower part of the torso still missing.
That's the other thing about that plane, too. It's what they call a composite. So in the event of a crash, it burns up like you can't believe, and there was nothing left of it. All that was left was the metal structure. And because it just torches, it's just like a steel furnace.
Now, some wise guy witness claimed that
it looked
like it had lost a tail rudder because it went into the building sideways, according to Errol Grindy, who was a witness.
Oh, there's no way.
At 72nd Street.
You know what? There's no way anybody could make that call as fast as that thing hit that building.
There's no
I think all you can say about that is that the plane was flying very unstable when it went in.
A lot of people said that.
And as to why would that be?
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me. Hope Not handcuffs arrived and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.